Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here live tonight. Give me just a minute, I'll be right with you. All right, welcome everybody. We're here live tonight. And good to be with you. Another live prophetic talk show Thursday night. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are here to minister to you personally, so we're going to be praying over offerings tonight also, praying over people tonight personally over the offerings, that is, to be specific. I'm going to get it right. Okay, so welcome. We're going to be getting with it here in just a little bit. Believe in God to show us what he wants us to do, where he wants us to go, and how we're supposed to do it. Believe in God for some details. All right. All right, give me just a minute. I'll be right there. All right, we are here tonight. Thank you for being with us, and hopefully you're all doing well tonight. If not, we're going to be at least doing some praying and speaking the word of the Lord over people and their offerings tonight. So if you want to give tonight, you're welcome to do that. You can do that a couple of different ways. Maybe about three or four different ways. You can give through PayPal if you have a PayPal account. You can want that link. You've never had the link, or maybe the link you have is not working. You can send me a text at 8 All kinds of things going on. All right, at 214. Just a second here. Okay. I got people texting me right now. Give me a second. I'll give you that information. All right. So you can do PayPal if you'd like. If you'd like to give to PayPal, you just text me at 214-505-8719, and I will get you that link in case the link has gone old or whatever. If you tried to give on it and it didn't work. All right. So, there you go. Also, we can give on Cash App. All you need is that same phone number. Or you can give on Zelle, Z-E-L-L-E. That is from bank to bank. That costs us nothing when you do that. It's free. They don't take any fees out and then go straight to the bank. All right. Also, you can give through Venmo. Venmo is another way. Same thing. Use the phone number. 214-505-8719. And you can do that. All right. And I think that is about it on that. Like I said earlier, if you need the PayPal link, text me at the same number, 214-505-8719, and I will get that to you as quickly as possible. All right, so you can give. And tonight is giving night. So tonight we pray over offerings, and we just offering nights are really cool. I think some of the coolest stuff I've ever seen. I really enjoy it because I don't know. There's something about praying over offerings. It's really, really cool. And if you've never been a part of that, maybe you should try it and see what God does. Right? Okay. We are working on the website, and we're also, our app is going to be in the app store again. In case you've gone there and couldn't find it, our app is going to be in the app store again. I didn't even know it, but I had a personal app account, developer's account, actually, is what they call it, Apple developer account, and didn't even know it wasn't a business. So finally, after about 3 or 4 years, they said, oh, you can't have that under your personal thing. I didn't know that it was. So I changed it to the ministry name and finally got that done. It seemed like it took forever because you just can't call people these days and get help. You have to go through the process of trying to explain to them what you want. If you don't explain it right, they don't understand it, then they're lost. They're going like, what? And so learning to communicate by text really is a whole new skill, right? When you're writing and communicating, it's a whole different thing. So really, really interesting how that works and how that, you know, how all that stuff works, actually. It's really amazing. And, you know, when I'm talking, that's why I like to do phone conversations when it really gets in depth, right? Aren't you that way? Yeah, because it's much easier to get on the phone. You can hear the expressions. You can tell what they're saying for the most part. It's easy to, you know, get it straightened out. But, man, through text and through email, I mean, my God. It took forever, it seemed like. And finally got it all done, and now it is official. Of course, it's not in there yet. The process went completely through this time, and now the app will be back in the app store here. I don't know, wherever the process goes through, it could be a couple of weeks. I'm not even sure exactly, but it won't be long. So most of you may not have even known that, but we have an app, and I'm also redoing the app. You know, so we're re-upgrading that. If you go in there right now, it's being upgraded. You may not see anything the same. I'm not sure what you're going to see exactly, but it may be a lot different from what you're used to, so you'll have to get used to that. So there you go. All right. We are believing God for, you know, information. We're information ministry. I think most everybody is information based. You know, the information that we get, like news, you know, if it's not right, if it doesn't work right, then if it's false or found out to be half true, people stop listening to it, right? And so it's kind of like that. So information is extremely important that you get it right, that you say the right things, do the right things, and get it done, right? Because it's if you don't, it just messes up everything. So information is really huge. So there you go. What am I doing here? I guess I got most of that. Wow, I don't have any of that done. Okay. Talking to my computer here, what I have done, what I don't have done. Let's go here and see what we can minister to you tonight about and see what's up. I really don't like my new phone that well because it's, even though it's about the same kind of phone I had before because it was on sale, yeah, I really don't like it because it does all these things. I'll probably be able to fix it later, but it does all these things that I don't like. Like your screen turning off and you have a hard time getting it back on again. Right when you're in the middle of trying to communicate, the screen goes black on you. You know, I think that's kind of a notification thing or something. I'll figure it out later. But anyway, that's about that. So, hang on a second. Okay, getting everything straightened out here. Here we go. And we're going finally. Thank God. All right. Just trying to be one of those nice tonight. All kinds of little things going on here. All right. I have some lovely information I want to share with you. I'm not sure exactly which one I want to get to you tonight. Really, really cool stuff. Revelation from the Lord is just, you know, you learn to live off of it, as you know. And it's really, really cool. All right. This new phone is messing with me. Okay. All right. Let's see what we got here tonight. Yeah, I talked to you the other night about how that, I think everybody kind of knows this, but I found a scripture again that talks about the will of God and how we've been talking a lot about the will of God lately. And I think once you start realizing what the will of God involves as far as you can be born again and never really walk in his will. I mean, you still go to heaven, but his will is where rewards are gathered together. They're earned or whatever you want to say. You know, we don't earn our salvation, but we do earn rewards. How do we earn them? By doing our own thing? No, by doing the will of God. Right? So the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We talked about that a couple of nights ago. And so here's 1 John 5:14 says, this is the boldness which we have toward him, that if we ask anything, according to his will, he listens to us. Wow, that's 1 John 5:14. Let me go there for a second and see if I can get something here. All right, give me a second. Let's look at some of this. I'm going to kind of follow this a little bit. 1 John. Chapter 5. So I'll go over for a minute. 5:14. The New King James Version. Kind of an in-between. All right, 5:14. It says, we know that. Okay, here we go. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to get this in a little bit, y'all. I really am. All right. Talking about confidence and compassion in prayer. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. Notice where the confidence lays here. Notice where the confidence is what is focused on. That if we ask anything, look at all these big words. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears it. Doesn't matter what it is, right? Isn't that amazing? So we can ask anything in his will, but it's got to be his will, you know. And so sometimes there's a timing with God's will. Sometimes we can ask God for $1 million and God may want to give you 5 or, you know, 100 million. But you know, you have to go through growth. So part of the will of God for you getting that $5 million or whatever it is will be that you'll need to go through growth. You'll need to go through being faithful and loyal to God so that when he does bless you, so that God finally pours it out on you and you receive it, it doesn't go to your head. You know, we think, oh, it would never go to my head. Right. Well, you've never had it, so how do you know? If you've never had it, how do you know? You don't know. You don't know that. It's pretty well-known fact that, you know, being wealthy is a whole new world. The 100-fold realm we talk about in the book of Mark, where it says that, you know, we walk in 100-fold, it says it comes with persecution. So I think that the true blessing of God, the true wealth, whether it be financial and all of it together, you know, God raising you up, giving you authority and power over all the power of the enemy, and you develop that, and you work with God, and your flesh becomes submitted to God in that process. So you're going to ask God for that $5 million, maybe his will to give that $5 million to you, but you're not ready for it because he knows it will ruin you, and what good is ruining you going to do? Because then he has to get somebody else, or he has to bring you back and draw you back, and you know, it's just a bunch of mess. So what does he do? He patiently will test you and try you and see if you will do what he asked you to do. Like he did Abraham. He said, I just wanted to see if you would. A lot of the things that we do is just God trying to see if we would. I just wanted to see if you would. You'd think he would know that we would or wouldn't. But he says, with Abraham, that's what he says at least. He said, I just wanted to see if you would. So a lot of things that we go through, we should be a sermon called, I just wanted to see if you would. Instead of, oh, God knows everything about everything all the time. And of course, we know he does. But so what does it mean when he told Abraham that? Yeah, what did he mean by that? Because I tell you, you know, 5 years before that, 10 years before that, Abraham might not have done it. He might not have done it. friend. And so God had to wait for the right moment. So it's about timing. It's about waiting on God, about God waiting on us, if you will. And so, you know, God's really waiting on us to, when we go through trials and temptations, everything that of the process that gets you to that place of being able to handle a blessing is how you handle your blessings. About how did you go through that? I just wanted to see how you do. This needs to be a message about that. I may be one tonight. Maybe we'll start one tonight. I just wanted to see what you were going to do when I tested you with this. Oh, I just wanted to see what you would do when you got tempted with that. Oh, I just wanted to see what you would do when you got tried with that. And what did you do? Well, you might have done good. You might not have done good. Well, if you didn't do good, it's not that God marks you off and goes, well, you know, they're just, you know, a bunch of idiots. They're not going to do anything. No, he goes, okay, we have to work on that. That's why it takes time and patience to walk with God, because the patience part is that he's trying to make us and develop us, renew us, and make us new in our minds, in our wills, in our decision-making, in our the way we think things through. He's trying to work, he's trying to mature that. And so when it becomes mature, then he goes, now I can pour this out on you. Couldn't pour it out on you before. Why? Because you weren't ready. Right? Abraham was not ready. I think Abraham might have been asked by God to give up Isaac many years before he did, if he'd have been ready. But he waited. You know, God works all things out. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows that human beings are human beings. If we were all God, there wouldn't be much trying going on. Not very much. Jesus went through some trials. He went through some temptations, right? But he slid right through them, right? He never sinned and failed a test. Never failed a test. How many tests did we fail? Well, it depends on what area. Quite a few, probably. You know, and but the thing is God's given up on us? What's the plan going on? God is saying, hey, you know, be patient. That's where patience comes in. I'm working with you. I have a goal in where we're going. There's a purpose in this. I'm trying to work all things out together for good. So I need you to keep your love life on me. So what does God do? He sends things that, to us and against us to so that we can, so he can work out the weaknesses in us, right? The host says, you know, he helps us in our weaknesses. So he tries to work out the weaknesses in us so that we can become yielded to him so that he can do whatever he wants to do. You can't trust people with great authority and power like Jesus. Every time Jesus prayed for somebody, a miracle happened. Almost, I think it was one time some guys in Nazareth, he had trouble there. And one time he prayed for God twice, who saw every man in the tree at first, and he prayed for him again. He could see clearly. So other than that, everything Jesus did worked. He said, come forth out of that grave. They came forth. You know, be healed, delivered. They were healed and delivered. Right? What? Why was God able to trust him with that? And why do we pretty well know he didn't do any miracles before that? It's because he had to be tested and tried. Had to be. God led him to the wilderness after he was baptized in water. And he came in agreement with death, burial, and resurrection. Right? That's what baptism is. Death, burial. That was for him too. Death. He was yielding to death, burial, and resurrection. And when he came forth, it said that the Spirit of God drove him into the wilderness, let's look at that for a second. All right, let's look at that for a minute. I think we're going to go there. I don't know who this is for tonight. Probably mainly me. All right, look at Mark 1:12. I think this is where we're going to go. Haven't gone and studied this. In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, was that the one I want? Okay, hang on a second. Yes, Mark 1:12. Okay, I had it right. How about that? Didn't seem right. Mark 1:12. Immediately after he was baptized in water, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Imagine that, getting in the car with the Holy Ghost, and he drives you over there. I don't think that's what it was, but it sounds cool. It drove him into the wilderness. He was there
in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beast. I bet that was cool. And the angels ministered to him. Right? So it doesn't really give, see, that's what I thought. It didn't give the actual process. That's why I didn't want to go there. Wake up, Chandler. You're going to make it. Okay. This is ridiculous. Come over here, John 4. Matthew 4. Okay, we are going to get this in Jesus' name. John 4. Come on, Chandler, you can do this. All right. John 4. Matthew 4. I know we're going to get something really good out of this. All right. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit. Now we're on track into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. When the tempter came to him, he said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. All right. So he went through all these tests, and it says when he went through these tests and he passed those tests, then, that's what gave him access to the power of God. Because it says he came out of the wilderness under the power of God. What I'm looking for is that scripture. Yeah, it says he came out of the wilderness with great authority and power. Anyway, I can't even find that. I can't believe this. If I don't know if I was going to get into this, I would have looked it up before. All right, so she came out in the power of the Spirit. Why did he come out in the power of the Spirit? Because he passed these tests. And, friend, when you and I pass those tests, we have to pass them first. You may pass them halfway, you get half of what you're going to get. You know, you pass them all the way, you get all of it. So what does God want us to have? All of it. So what does he do? He's patient with us. He keeps giving us chances. But Jesus, the amazing thing about Jesus is that he went right through all this stuff. He went through it like boom, 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 boom. We spend years going through stuff. Yeah, because, a lot of different reasons for that. But the whole purpose for him going through that before he went in, you know, and then showed up at the temple and said, you know, I'm the one, you know, he hath anointed me to be the Messiah. That's what he basically said in Nazareth when he walked in there to the temple and told them, you know, I am he. And they wanted to kill him right away. Right away, his first sermon. Hey, we're going to kill you for that, you know. How would you like that for your sermon, your first message? And they take you out to the hill and try to stone you. And so friend, this is really what it's about. And so God wants to trust us with his power and authority, but he has to try us and let our weaknesses be made known and show our weaknesses so we can see them and get rid of them and yield to them. And that's why a lot of people don't make it with the authority and power of God or with the money that they're believing God for, that they believe they're supposed to have to help do whatever. It's for that very reason, because they keep failing the same test over and over again. I've done it. We've all done it. There's not anybody that's passed the test like Jesus did the first time. I mean, he was sent up to the wilderness, you know, and for 40 days, 40 nights, he fasted. And then he went through, I don't know how long those tests took, but it didn't take long. But within a few days, he was through them. And it says he went into Israel in great power. Yeah, it's amazing. He went into Israel, into Nazareth, really, to start his ministry in great authority. And so, let's see. There we go. Okay. All right. Very awesome. Very interesting. Didn't plan on going there tonight, but it's really cool. I said, God's trying to say something to us, you know. So, like with me, you know, the things I've been talking about with me, God took me through some high level, I consider them high level, trials and testings and through family things and through stuff that was you know, if it had been outside my family, it would have been hard. But the fact that it was inside the family was made it, you know, very difficult, because you don't just you live with your family, right? Your family, your family. And so that's sometimes, I think, is some of the hardest things you can go through is things within the family. And so obviously I've done some things right. I've come through them fairly good because God keeps opening up more and more to me. But it's taken years. Well, Jesus took a few days. It's taken me years. How long is it going to take you? I don't know. How long was it going to take Israel when they went through the wilderness? Well, 40 years, and they still didn't make it. The Bible says they were sent into the wilderness to be tried, to test their hearts, to see what was in their heart, Deuteronomy 8. And so when they got in there, they found out their heart was full of Egypt. I said the words for that, but we're going to call it full of Egypt and full of themselves and full of the world. And they didn't even know it, yet they were God's people. So that's why they weren't allowed to cross over the Jordan, because they didn't pass the test. They kept failing. And so what did God do? He got another generation that didn't have all the Egyptian stuff in them. Right? Most of the, I think all of them in the wilderness, all the children in the wilderness that were 20 years and up, they didn't have anything to do with Egypt. Right? They were born in the wilderness, and they watched God do miracles. Of course, they listened to the mom and daddy complain and whine a lot, you know. So they listen to mom and dad, but they go like, you know, well, probably when they saw that, it probably was good for them, because they saw them complaining, go like, but mom, dad, you know, we got quail yesterday, we got bread yesterday, we got, you know, we get water again, right? We've never starved. They couldn't understand why their mommy and daddy were complaining and whining so much. Well, it's because they had been in Egypt all those years, and they had been raised in Egypt. And they got used to a different system. So when they came out there to trust God, it was very, very difficult for them to do. We might have done the same thing exactly. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones who, you know, was given permission to go into, cross over the Jordan, go into the Promised Land. Why weren't the other ones given permission? Why are people not given permission to pass on over? Because they failed the test. They give in to their family. They want the money. They want the love. They want they don't know it. It's not in the natural. When you look at it, it's not, oh, that's family. That's not bad. No, but when God's saying yield over your family and you're not doing it, guess what happens? You don't enter in. You don't enter in. So that becomes, God will choose the thing that you're the weakest in, and he will use that to bring you, break you down to where you will say, okay, God, you know, I choose you, because he knows that big thing that you love so much, he will use that big thing you love so much to test you. Like if you have an inheritance coming, you got some money coming in, you know, and you have to suck up to the family, and the family's going the opposite direction of what you're supposed to be going, and you're, you know, well, once I get my money, I'll change my mind. You know, I mean, it's a good trick of Satan, but it's a lie from hell. So the minute you open your heart to that and start going that way, thinking I'll just do this for a little while, and then all of a sudden you wake up one day and you're not going anywhere. You're, you know, your life's falling apart. You're dying. You're emotionally, you know, you're messed up. You don't make it because you compromise. You know, and God gives us plenty of times. It's not like one time shot and you're out. Amen. He gave many, 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 many times to all of us. I know he has to me. So God is patient. We got to be patient, and we got to pass. You got to pass the test, friend. If you don't pass that test, you're never going to enter in. God will let you starve to death before he blesses you with something that you can't handle that will destroy you. He'd rather see you starve to death and keep close to him than have what you're not ready for that will destroy you. And I don't know if I'm like going to hell to destroy you. I'm talking about, you know, just shame God. One of the big things with God is that he blesses people so they won't shame him. It's like he told Moses, he said, you shame me before my people. When he didn't speak to the rock, he struck the rock. You know what? You know what God said to him? He said, you shamed me. You didn't sanctify me in front of my people. You did what you thought. You shamed me. That was a big thing with God. And God said, that's it for you, boy. You're out. I love you. You did a great job. Man, you're awesome. You know, nice being with you, but, you know, you spoke you struck the rock. You didn't speak to it like I told you. And you're out of control. And I can't trust you to do anything else because it's over for you. And what happened? God told him he was going to take him in. I've read this to you probably 50 times. And then in another scripture, he says, you know, number, I think it's that, the book of Numbers, he says, now you're not going to take him in. If somebody says, now you're not going to take him in, that means you were going to take him in, but now you're not. So it was like, you were going to, now I changed my mind. Oh, that was just, you know, whatever you call some kind of thing God has going on. It's a plan B, so to speak. And so God has, believe me, friend, if you don't pass that test, you keep going around, you keep not giving to God what belongs to God, in whatever way that is, your family, giving to God your tithe, your offering, whatever belongs to God, whatever God's asking you for, and you don't yield to it, and you don't pass that test, you're never going to enter in. You never will. I never will. We never will. Nobody ever will. And the examples all through the scriptures. Look what happened to Ananias and Sapphira when they lied about their money. Money's a big thing. Money's a big thing because it's a powerful thing, and God uses it. And Satan tries to use it also. Right? He tries to use money to get us to fail. Some people will compromise over money. Oh, well, you know, I just, once I get my inheritance, then I can, you know, do my own thing. I don't need my daddy no more. I don't need the family anymore. I got my money. I can serve God with. Now I can do what I'm putting. Yeah. Uh-uh. No, if you, it's just like taking the mark of the beast almost. Oh, I got to eat, I got to live. You take the mark of the beast. Well, in that case, it's a little bit different kind of thing. But then it's too late. People don't have this thing with, they get this thing with God. I can do anything I want. Oh well, if I don't pass the test, he'll let me in there. I know it. I know him. He's so gracious. Oh God, thank you. You know, I'm fine. I'll make it. No, he's not going to bless you. You make it to heaven. But you're not going to make it with that multi-million-dollar industry thing what you're doing so you can help people and bless people and all that power and authority to heal the sick and raise the dead. If he can't trust you to do the little things you got going on and you want to do the big things, you can't even do the little things. We can't even do the little things. You think he's going to trust you? God is not stupid, y'all. He's not stupid. Amen. I mean, I'm talking about me. I'm talking about Randy Chandler here. Well, I just don't understand why. Well, you better look at it real close because there's something going on. There's something you're not doing right that you need to get right. You're not shut out. You just can't go in. God never shut them out from crossing over the Jordan. He just wouldn't let them cross over, you know, because of their own actions. You know, he wanted them to go to the other side, but they had to be ready for it. They couldn't enter that promised land and defile that promised land and make the promised land another Egypt. That's why they were still walking around the wilderness, because they took Egypt with them, and Egypt was still with them, and they hadn't got rid of Egypt. And that's the only reason God used the 20-year-olds, because they never even saw Egypt. All they did was hear stories about it. You see what I'm saying? That's why God used them, because they didn't have that Egyptian bondage for 400 years inside of them. They were born in the place of the wilderness where God was providing for his people supernaturally. And that's the side of everything that they saw. The only thing they heard about Egypt was the stories. And it could have been that good. Oh yeah, we had to work really hard with it. They drove us crazy. We were slaves, but at least we had food. And that's how they thought. Go back to Egypt, man. It'd be better than this. Right? And so, you know, you and I probably would have done the same thing. But the point is, are you passing your test? You can say you are, but if you're not entering in, then somehow you're not. Period. Yeah. So it doesn't matter how you got it all figured out that you're right and they're wrong. It's what God says. It's what God is saying. It's not on the human realm. If you look at things in the human realm, like when I look at the thing I went through with my family in the human realm, it was just a bunch of people trying to, you know, help each other. But in the spiritual realm, it was people coming against what God was doing, and they were lying. It was a lie. It wasn't some love, compassionate thing. It was a big lie. They were lying. It was a lie, a big lie. And they were doing a bunch of things and trying to protect, instead of giving it over to God and just moving on, they couldn't do that. So what did it do? Costly, very, very costly. to this moment. It's the most grieving thing you'd ever see in your life. And the thing was, it wasn't that, you know, some devil got a hold of her. No, it was that curse does not come without a cause. Somebody can't curse you. I don't care who you are. If you're serving Jesus, it doesn't matter what devil's coming against you. They cannot curse you unless there's a cause. Oh, you don't know. Well, I don't know. Maybe you're doing good now, but maybe you got some kind of connection to that stuff that, you know, you're not doing it anymore. You're not part of it anymore. Maybe you never really were that much a part of it. Maybe you were. Whatever, it doesn't make any difference. The thing is, that curse can't come without a cause, according to Proverbs. I'll read it to you. God is indeed a God of recompense. Okay. Proverbs 26, verse 2. Let's take a look at this. Yeah, and the bird, let's read the one that makes sense. Yeah, here's different versions say that. This one says, a curse you don't deserve will take wings and fly away like a sparrow or a swallow. Right? So it's saying that, here's another version that says, don't worry when someone curses you for no reason. Nothing bad will happen. Such words are like birds that fly past and never stop. But when the bird can stop, when there's a cause, some kind of cause, it may not be, you know, some horrible sin, it may not be, but whatever the cause is, that they cannot curse you. No devil can curse you. No human, no good, no Christian witchcraft person, if you want to call them that, who are praying their own prayers, can curse you unless there is a cause. You have to have an open door. Here's another verse. It says, curses cannot hurt you unless you deserve them. Wow, that's pretty powerful. Curses will not harm someone who is innocent. A curse without cause will not stay on you. Y'all hearing it? This is Proverbs. You can look at it yourself if you get a chance. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2, and there's other ones too that talk about it. But we're trying to get a point across tonight, friend, that you can, oh, they curse me. That's why I'm just living for Jesus. I ain't got no, there's no cause. It can't be. That can't be right. Now, you know, the reason that Job's thing, because he went through his thing. It took him, I don't know how many months it was that he went through it, but it didn't stick because he was innocent. He found out to be innocent. God allowed Satan to curse him. You see that? God allowed it. He said, okay, I'll remove my protection. Go ahead and curse him. You just can't kill him. So it came, but it couldn't stick. He ended up getting blessed by it. So if that's your case, then don't worry about it. It's not going to stick. It may hit you for a little while, but it's not going to be able to stay. It cannot stay. It's like a bird. It'll fly away. Doesn't mean things won't come and hit you, but the one that you can't pray away, you know, like Job finally prayed, you know, he prayed his way. God said, now bless your friends who've been speaking all this stuff to you. So he was cursed. God allowed it. God said, you know, have you tried my servant Job? Curse him, and he will not curse me to my face. The devil said, oh, he'll curse you to your face, when I get through with him. God says, I don't think so. So I trust you. So he allowed it, but the thing is, friend, yes, can things hit us? Yes. But it couldn't stick. It couldn't stay. It ended up blessing him. Amen. We got to realize that. So if you got something that's trying to stick on you, there's some kind of something. It may not be some evil sin. It may not be something bad. Maybe, you know, a genetic thing. But there's a cause. There is a cause. And you need to ask God what the cause is. right? What's the purpose of this? What? How am I allowing this? Is it genetic? Something I've never done that's in my genes, and you're going to use me to break it? That's why you're allowing this stuff to hit me like this? But it's not going to stick, friend, if you get rid of the thing that it sticks to. Amen. Some people, the cause of their disease or sickness is because they've been eating trash all their life. Right? Some people get sick because, you know, they've watched horror movies all their life, and now they're having, you know, anxiety and stress, and they're in a psych ward. Right? What did they do? They opened the door. There was a cause to, oh, I don't know why she went crazy, man. Because late at night, she liked to watch horror movies. She got addicted to them, or he got addicted to them, or whatever. And pretty soon, it opened up all kinds of doors, and, you know, the wrong thing happened here, and wrong thing happened there, and pretty soon, the demons got in there, and, I mean, she was in, he was in a nut house. Yeah, locked up. Why? Because there was a cause. We got to get past this thing. Oh, there's no real cause of that. Things just happen. You know, and there are, you know, even the things that just happen, happen because of the sin of Adam, right? So what we've got to do is realize, you know, yes, the earth is sin, is an imperfect place. It's a dangerous place because, you know, Adam and Eve sinned and the glory of God's gone. So that reason alone, we have a cause. But there's a cause. We can't say there's not a cause. So what we have to do is ask God specifically, what's the cause in my particular circumstance? What's the cause from this thing happening to me in my particular thing? Is it something in my past, my family, something I've never really done, but maybe my family's done it? Like they asked Jesus, they said, is this man blind because of his mom and daddy? He said, no, none of those things. Well, we all know he was blind because Adam and Eve sinned. We know that. There's no question about that. Jesus wasn't saying, oh, there's no sin in the earth. That's why, no. He knew that because if Adam and Eve had never sinned, that boy would have never been blind, right? He couldn't have been blind. But so we know that. But he was saying specifically, is it? So what he was trying to find out is it specifically this in my life? God, Jesus, is he blind because his mom and daddy? In other words, they weren't trying to blame somebody. They were trying to say, we know the curse doesn't come without a cause. So what's the cause? Is it his mom and dad? They weren't condemning him. They were saying, is it genetic? Or what is it? He said, no, it's none of those things. It's going to be for the glory of God. But the blindness came because you know, at least Adam and Eve sin, we know. Right? I mean, it's pretty obvious. So the more you resist, the more you, you know, try to say, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. Okay, well, nobody's saying that you're doing something wrong. It's not always about you. It's about finding out what the cause is. There's some kind of cause. You can't just sit there and say, oh, well, no, it's just Now, there's something. The cause could be. Cause could be that God is allowing it to happen, but it's not going to stick if that's the truth. Because if you're innocent, the cause, the curse cannot stay. It doesn't mean it won't hit you, but it's going to eventually slide off. And or God's going to double you and bless you for what you went through. Yeah, so we got to get a hold of that thing. We're not trying to blame anybody. I'm not trying to blame you. You're wrong. You're bad. You did something wrong. You're hiding something. That would be me being Job's friends. I'm not going to do that, right? So do some people hide stuff? Yes. Does that mean that's what's going on with some people? No. No, but what we got to do, we got to find out what the cause is. That's why we talk about DNA being a problem, our own judgmental spirit sometimes that we have causes things to happen to us. There's a cause for it somehow. We got to find out what it is and ask God to cleanse our DNA, to shut that door. Because, man, I'm telling you, things happen to people that are innocent as far as, you know, they haven't done that sin, but it's in their bloodline, and in a sense, they're not innocent of it. They're innocent of it, and they haven't done that sin, but they're not innocent of it because it's in their blood. That iniquity is in their blood. Therefore, that's the cause. You see what I'm saying? So it's not all about I'm bad, I'm evil, everybody thinks I'm trying to hide something, that I'm having this problem. Not at all. If that's the case, just repent. Who cares? Get rid of it. But if it's just something, if it's eating differently, if it's thinking differently, stop watching horror movies all the time and doing things that bring fear on you and open it. There's a cause for this thing. You got to find it. That's why they went to the wilderness, to see what was in their heart. They weren't bad, evil people. They were people who had been in bondage in Egypt for 420 years. And Egypt was in them, and Egypt was in their bloodline. Y'all ever thought about that? Egypt, when you've been somewhere for 400 years, you know that Egyptian DNA was in them. Because they kept saying, maybe we should go back to Egypt. At least we had food, for sure. We've had food here, but we don't have it for sure. We wake up every morning, and there it is. And our children know it's going to come because they didn't live in Egypt to have something to compare to. But we're going like, what if it doesn't show up tomorrow? What if we all die of starvation or thirst? Because why? Because they had DNA, Egypt DNA in them. Yeah, it didn't make them bad, evil people. It just meant that. So that's why God said, I'm going to take you to the wilderness, to Deuteronomy 8, to test you and try you and see what's in your bloodline or in your heart, the blood that pumps from your heart. So eventually, you know, if we don't deal with that curse, the cause of that curse, the cause of that trouble, then you may go down. I'm going to be real honest with you. You may go down. So ask God to show you. And quit trying to think it's just all that you've done something bad and evil. It could be something in your DNA, right? And shut that door. That's why we talk about that stuff. All right, we're trying to go through everything and talk about things. You know, when you talk about some things with people, they get offended because they think that you're talking about, oh, they got some bad thing going on. You know, I don't care if you got a bad thing going on or not. Stop it. Just stop it and move on. And we'll all give God the glory for look what God did. Hallelujah. Who cares what you messed up and screwed up in your life and been doing in your life the last 5, 10 years? 20 years. Who cares? I don't care. Nobody cares. Jesus didn't care. He said, woman, you committed adultery. Yeah, you got busted. Yeah, my law said do it. But you know what? I came to change your blood now. That's all I care about is changing your blood. But in order to change your blood, you got to realize that curse came with a cause. And I came to fix that cause by giving my blood. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Why? It doesn't matter what you did 5 seconds ago that was some horrible, bad, nasty, dirty thing. It doesn't matter. You can still take communion and ask God to deliver you and wash you and set you free of it. That's the kind of – that's the new covenant that we have, friend. It's not like the old covenant. The old covenant was you brought an offering. They offered your lamb, whatever you brought for them together. But now he changes your blood. You don't have to bring an animal's blood. God's going to change your blood. Get it out of your system. It's amazing. There's no condemnation. It doesn't matter what you've done or what somebody thinks you might be doing. Oh, I wonder what they really are doing. Who cares what anybody thinks you're really doing? If you're doing it, stop doing it. If you're not doing it, who cares? Let God deal with them. Don't let it stop you. Don't let it make you bitter because that test is going to – you become bitter because of their thinking, oh, yeah, well, she probably did. Who cares what she did or he did? It's probably in their DNA. That's why they did it. How dare you blame them for that? How dare me blame them for that? Jesus said, I didn't come to blame you for that. I didn't come to kill you and stone you anymore. No, I'm changing all that. The same thing today, friend, it's even more so today. All right, so don't think that, you know, I've got some underhanded, underlying thought going through my head. It doesn't matter even if I did. Who gives a rip? Don't let somebody's judgmental spirit get you to become judgmental. Sometimes that's a strategy of Satan. Oh, they're being judgmental toward me. I know it. I can feel it. Okay. Well, who cares? Who cares? Forgive them and go on. Because it's there to make you judgmental. It's there to make you bitter. It's there to make you unforgiving. That's what it's there for, the Satan strategy. You know, you're going through a trial. You're going through a test. Forgive. Love. Let your armor. Let it slide off.
But I know that you think that
Well, I've done the same thing. I've said that, thought that. Sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong. But you know what? Who gives a rip whether I was right or wrong? The thing is, I have to forgive either way. even if I am right. Then you don't forgive because you're right, and then you get forgiveness because you're wrong. No, you forgive either way. Either way, you deal with it. Forgive, you bless, and you move on. Even if you were wrong about what you think they did, forgive them, bless them, and move on. If they really did do it, forgive them, bless them, and move on. Doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong about what they think or don't think about you. Right? I'm talking stuff that I go through. I'm preaching to the choir, I know. But I'm telling you, if you only knew some of the stuff I've gone, I've been talking about a little bit of it lately. But it's hard to talk about a lot of it because it's like, wow. You know, it's like, who cares whether it really happened or didn't happen? You know, to some people, like, if they were half right, half wrong. I mean, my God, as long as they overcome and get through it and bless and forgive, you know, forgive themselves if they mess up, you know, who cares? People's worst sin, friend, is they don't forgive themselves. I've had people tell me, and I've gone through a lot of those kinds of stuff, it's like, I know you have too. You did to me, and because you did it to me, you know, I had a hard time forgiving you, therefore my sickness is because of you. I'm going like, that's not the Bible. I don't know who's telling you that nonsense, but that's a bunch of trash. Now, are you going to blame somebody else because they had unforgiveness toward they didn't forgive, they didn't do something for you, and you're sick because of what they did? No, you have the power to forgive whatever anybody's done to you. You don't ever use somebody's stuff that they did against you or for you, even if it's not true. If true or not true, it doesn't make any difference. You can't say, you're the reason I'm sick. No, you are the reason you're sick because you're not forgiven. You're not letting go. Not anybody else's fault. It's only yours. Well, the whole world's going to give me Brother Randy, and I'm going to die because there's something forgiven. I'm going to die because it's, you know, now you're going to die because you are not forgiving, because you are doing that. Nobody else. Don't blame nobody else but you. They did it. You don't know what they did. It doesn't matter what they did. It doesn't matter what they did, how they did it, when they did it. It doesn't matter. That's not any reason for you. There's no reason for you and me to have unforgiveness and get sick and dying over what somebody else did to us. That's why Jesus gave us the free will to forgive. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Well, but you don't understand. You know, I'm a weak female, or I'm a weak male, and I just if they don't come and ask me for forgiveness, you know, I might be sick the rest of my life. Then you probably will, thinking like that. Got to get over it, man. Grow up, forgive, bless. Can't be that bad. Being sick over, blame your anxiety over other people. Then you try to get off into a closet all by yourself. I'm always happy when I'm in my closet. Yes, because, you know, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you when you can't hang around people and feel like everybody hates you and is against you and going to take you down, and therefore you can't handle it, so you got to hide in the corner. That's how backwards that is. That's like pure stupidity, and I know people real close that think like that. As long as I was in my closet, as long as I was single, I was fine. Until I got married to you, now, you know, I have to hang around a human being all the time. Like, yeah, because maybe God brought that human being in your life so you could learn how to get things out of you. Get you free. Don't ever, you can't, the most pathetic thing I've ever seen in my life, when I watch somebody go, I've counseled a lot of people, y'all, and they come in there, yeah, I'm just a weak woman, and my husband, he should be the head of the household, and, you know, he ought to just be, like, who cares about your stupid husband being a jackass or whatever he is? You know, that doesn't give you any reason to have unforgiveness and bitterness in your life. There is no reason. You sinned, God forgave you. You can't forgive them for sinning against you? Uh-uh. That is retarded, sick, and perverted. Wisdom of Satan. The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God holds you accountable for what you forgive or don't forgive in people's lives. No excuses, friend. We stand before God. I love you enough. That's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you what I'm learning. I'm telling you what I go through. I talk to a lot of people. I've counseled a lot of people over the years. I've seen a lot of stuff. Lots of stuff. I've seen perversion that would make you throw up every day of your life. You know why they were doing it? Because they were bad, evil people. No, because they had it done to them, and it got passed down in their generation, and they just couldn't figure out why they kept doing it, even though they knew it was wrong. I know why they did it, because it got in their DNA, and once your DNA, it's like a passion of like an alcoholic. Once he takes one drink, you can't stop. It's like you got to have more. Once you do that one sin, you just do it one time. You barely do it one time, and you open that door, boom, you are connected to that adulterous, fornicating, you know, alcoholic, incestual, whatever the thing is. Let's quit blaming people and understand what's really going on. And Jesus said, that's why I came for, was to shed my blood. Why did he shed his blood? Why couldn't he just shed a tear? Because his blood had his DNA. He wanted us to have his DNA. It's our only hope. All right. Well, I have gone on and on. I didn't even know. I just looked up and it's like 10 o'clock. I didn't even know it. I had kind of a slow start tonight. I got a lot of stuff going on. And wow. Amazing. God is really good. All right. Give me just a minute. I'm going to get together. Y'all can take a break. And your hair's blown back, and you feel like your skin's been set on fire. Yeah, maybe so. If it is, if anything's burning up, just let it burn on down. Because anything is of God. Ain't no fire going to burn something. Ain't going to both burn up the gold and the silver and the jewels, the precious jewels. Ain't going to hurt them. If something's burning on you right now, just let it burn on. Let it burn on down. Don't try to put it out with your extinguisher of reasoning power. Let it burn and destroy it. Get rid of that thing. My God, we all need that. Okay? All right, give me a minute here. Watch some of you get your extinguishers and put all the fire out. And some of you let it burn out and burn out, which is really the best way to go. Yeah. Really, really cool. Get some of the offerings going on here. So give me a minute. All right. Be right back. All right. Yes, I am here. I let everybody know a while ago that I am getting together offerings. So thank you for giving me a minute on that. And all right. Sometimes I have to stop and gather up everything. People give during the show, so we work on that during the show. Sometimes if you hear me get off, it's because of that. All right. So I'm not quite through yet. I am here, though. Thank you.
All right. All right. We're getting ready to take communion here in just a moment. So I'm gathering together offerings. Sometimes it takes a little time to get them in. People give during the show. So I don't have anybody here to put it up. I never really do, but there we go. All right. Very, very cool. Thank you for giving tonight. Thank you for that. We are adding it all up here, getting it, not adding it up, but recording it. Okay. Okay. It takes a little bit to go through all this stuff, and there's so many different ways people give, so thank you for that, and we can take a few minutes to get it all together here and figure it all out. Awesome. All right. Little by little, everybody gets it in there. All right. All right, everybody. This Thursday night. Thursday night is a wonderful, crazy night. I love it. A lot of fun. At least I'm having fun. We're having fun. All right, y'all do understand the word, trying to make very clear that there's no condemnation in Christ. I'm talking about me, I'm talking about you, I'm talking about us, and all the different ways that we try to find out what's hindering us, right? Don't you really want to know? You go to a doctor, you may go get a second opinion because you may not like his, but you find out that maybe the second opinion is the same as his, and, you know, you start finding out what's wrong. So why? So you can fix it. Not so you can feel bad, right? It's about fixing things, about getting... Jesus came to fix everything, every sin of every kind, whether you did it or somebody else did it, and it's in your DNA, right? Or you've done it, and you need to get free of it. It's, you know, it's all just Jesus came to change the whole system. And what we got to be careful of is we don't get back under that thing of the law, like, oh, caught you in sin, so you're going to be stoned. God didn't want to stone anybody. The devil may stone people, but God doesn't stone people. Not anymore. He used to. God used to stone people, y'all. Get that in your thinking. God used to stone people until Jesus came along. Jesus was the remove the stone thing. Yeah. All right, so get your communion. Let's get ready to take communion together tonight. Thank you for being with us. Thanks for your giving. Thanks for your help. Thanks for your blessings. And, you know, if you're having a financial issue, find out what the cause is. Find out what there's a cause somewhere, some kind of a cause. Not that people don't have trouble sometimes. Sometimes troubles are different. Stick to you troubles, and you got the same old trouble, you know, over and over and over again. Then it's not about blaming you. You may be part of the problem, but it's about saying, what are you doing wrong? What's the cause of this thing that's cursing you? You know, not a devil's curse. Yeah, the devil's curse too. It doesn't matter. It's like the wrath of God. It doesn't matter whether it's God's wrath or the devil's wrath. No wrath. We're not appointed to any wrath. You know, in other words, it can be right there all around you. It doesn't touch you. Cursing people can be cursing people from the devil's people can be cursing people. And believe me, friend, it cannot touch you. Oh, I'm being cursed by the devil. Then you got some kind of thing going on. It's not that you're evil. It's not about being bad. So we got to get over this thing. If I'm being hit, then it's got to be. That's why it's, you know, I know people who didn't want to tell people they're sick because they thought people were going to think they're, you know, like, oh, God, what do they do? Or what do they not do?
Like, not everybody thinks that, but, you know, a lot of people do. So they don't want to tell people, especially Christians, you know, what's going on. And not, you know, not our people, but, you know, people in general. It's a shameful thing when your life falls apart because you're going like, what did I do wrong? And everybody else is going to be going, what you done wrong. It's like they did with Job. Job's friends are like all of us sometimes. You know, what did you do wrong? Nobody can get all this bad stuff without something. You did something wrong, right? Well, the cause with Job, it was a cause. What was the cause? God was testing him, and it didn't stick because he was innocent. The devil tried to stick it to him. That's some pretty rough things. He tried to stick it to him, tried to nail him, but it wouldn't nail. The nail wouldn't stick. Why? Because he just said, I don't care. You know, God, if you slay me, I'm going to praise you. And that was that Teflon armor, man. It just kept sliding off. You know, man, I'd hate to, you know, I don't know. Job was one mighty man of God. There's no doubt about it. Dude was like, man, the devil didn't like him, that's for sure. I'd have got him a long time ago, God, if he hadn't put that hedge up around him. Yeah. There's a lot in that story, too, that can be talked about. Hang on a second, and then we're going to take communion. Get your communion, if you would. Get it ready. It's like with me, I want to tell you some things I do during the day, just daily stuff, not horrible, devastating, you know, things. We all have those hit us sometime in our life. But just little things that go with me, like during the day, if I'm having a hard time thinking clearly, you know what I do? I try to find out the cause. Because I can think clearly, right? I can think clearly now. How come I'm not? Yeah. So I start looking for the cause. That's what I do. What's the cause of my slow thinking today? What's up? Because I'm a quick thinker. I can think quick and think good. So what about, oh, yeah, I didn't have my avocado today. I don't have any protein in my body. Oh, my gosh, I got busy and I forgot. It's already 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And, you know, my gosh, you know, I've been, putting together, I'm working on the website again. I just now started working on that again. And our app, we're upgrading our app. That's being done right now as I'm talking. I'm working on that today and have other people working on it too. But doing that and we're going to have our app in the app store again. Thank God, finally. That is final now. That is final. That's finally final. Went through weeks and weeks and weeks of going back and forth, and we just couldn't figure out what wasn't going through. And then finally, the Subsplash people made a point to get a hold of me, and they figured it out right away. So there you go. So now that is going to be done. We're going to upgrade our app. I think if you go in there right now, I think it's different right now even, but just being worked on, so it's not the finished product. So working on a lot of things, getting a lot of things done. I have some, things going on where I couldn't work on things the last, month or so. So it kind of slowed that down. But it's coming together, thank God. I'm being able to put a lot of time into it right now, so thank God for that. So pray for me, if you would, about all that. And let's take communion, and let's ask God to show us the cause, with my cause. What's the cause of me not being able to think clearly, and why am I not, why am I feel, my brain's not working right, because I'm very aware of my brain. And I know when you learn about your brain and you figure out what, if you take care of your brain, I would say put God first and put your brain second. And that's what I would say. Put your brain second. Put God first and put your brain second. Friend, it will make all the difference in the world if you can figure out how your brain works and what keeps it working. Sometimes you're going to think the devil's on you, and not that the devil didn't come on us. Sometimes try to hit us, but a lot of times it's just simply, you got the wrong stuff in your body. You don't have the right things in your body. Too many of the wrong things, not enough of the right things. And if you don't feed your body, you feed your brain, get that brain fed, that brain's not going to be functioning right. Your brain's what tells every part of your body to work, even your organs that get sick. Sometimes it's your brain not being fed. Yeah. So there you go. Put God first and your brain second. That's my commandment today, at least. Yeah. Put God first and your brain second. And figure out what's going on with your brain. Feed it, nurture it, fill it, get it blessed, get the water in there. Sometimes you just simply drink it. Sometimes I'm feeling rough and I think, oh, yeah, I haven't had my water. I tell people to drink water every day, right? Or almost every day. And sometimes I forget. You know, it's one of those things. You have to remind yourself. And water goes out. If you don't have water coming back in, you're going to be drying up and your system dries up. So look for the cause. What's the cause of my weakness? Why am I having bitterness? What's going on? Why do I keep having bad thoughts toward people that I know I'm not supposed to have? Why do I keep doing that? Well, there's a cause. What is it? Find out what the cause is. They did something wrong. Maybe you thought they did. You keep, you know, you got to find out how to let go of it, how to deal with it, confront it, deal with it, and deal with the cause. Or it will keep going on until you're, you know, wake up one day and go, oh, my God, where'd God go? Like, that's what it's like. Where did God go? It wasn't God that went anywhere. All that stuff you got going on is covering up everything. And me. I'm talking about me and you and us. All right. Hope everybody agrees with that. If you don't, you should. All right, let's take communion. I'm ready. First Corinthians 12, we're going to ask God to show us the causes, from the little things to the big things. What's the cause of it, Lord? Why is this happening? There's a reason. It may not have anything to do with what you're doing, right or wrong. You know, it may have something to do with, you know, something you don't know of, something you're ignorant of, but there is a cause for it. And you can find the answer. That's why Jesus said that he is the answer for every cause. 1 Corinthians 11, take communion. I'm going to ask God to show us the causes from every detail in our life. So when you find the cause for every problem you have, every situation, even though sometimes God may be trying you and testing you, and that thing's not going to stick, you being innocent, or becoming innocent. If you're not innocent, you become innocent, right? Forgiven by the blood, washed by the blood. Even if you're guilty, you become innocent. You become just as if you never did it. And that's therefore you become innocent. Therefore, it can't stick. It can't stick. And sometimes you have to tell it to get out. Yeah. All right. Lift up the bread. For I received from the Lord, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 11:23, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night, same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this, Jesus said, in remembrance of me. And we break and we eat tonight and feed his body. Amen. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. What did he do? He gave us his DNA. We drink the DNA of God. Just drink, friend. We drink your DNA. We drink your DNA. Because you told us to drink your DNA. To drink your blood and eat your body. Hallelujah. Amen and amen to that. Hallelujah. Drink your DNA. We're drinking your DNA. We're drinking your DNA. Just like you say, we're drinking your DNA. So we can change, so we can be made new, have new DNA. All right. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Hallelujah. All right. Lord, I thank you tonight for us drinking your DNA to give us new DNA. You gave us new DNA, Jesus. And we thank you for that, Lord, and we give you the glory for that. There's no one else that could do that but you. And you've done it. You did it. It's done. We don't have to try to make it happen. Anything else anymore? It is a done deal in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to drink your blood. Thank you for changing us at the root of who we are and what we're going to be by drinking your blood, eating your body. Your body is the new code. The code is your word. Your word, your words are the code that code us. That like a computer, you get a code in there. And when you put the code in there right, it works perfectly. When the code gets messed up, it stops working. Hallelujah. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Drink your DNA. We're going to drink your DNA. We drink your DNA just like you say. We're drinking your DNA. We drink your DNA. Oh, yeah, 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 we drink your DNA. We drink your DNA just like you said, say. We drink your DNA just like you say, hey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We drink your DNA. We drink your DNA. We drink your DNA just like you did say. We drink your DNA. And I like that song. Where'd that come from? We drink your DNA. We drink your DNA so we can stay in your glory. Yeah, yeah, we drink your DNA. We drink your DNA so we can stay holy. We drink your DNA. All right. Okay. Okay, we drink your DNA. We drink your DNA. Just like you say. Offering still coming in. Give me just a minute here. All right. We're giving tonight. Keep letting it happen. Because we drink your DNA, therefore we can stay in your glory. Because we drink your DNA. We drink your DNA so that we can stay in your glory. Gonna stay in your glory. Gonna live in your glory. Do what you say. DNA. Mm-hmm. I think I got that song stuck in my heart, man. Wow. Never heard that one before. I kind of like the sound of it. Kind of like an old, African-American song. You know, what do you call those things? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Will your people give you glory? People give you glory because we drink your DNA so we could stay in your glory. DNA. Remain in me. I will remain in you. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Okay. This is really awesome, man. Okay. Okay, I'm working on stuff here. Give me a second. Wow. We drink your DNA. We drink your DNA. Yeah, therefore we can say we're just like you. Hey, 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 we're just like you. Hey, we got your DNA. I need to go. I'll take off of that one. Maybe a communion song. All right, let's pray for offering tonight. Thank you very much for being with us. If you give tonight, we'll try to catch it and get it in there. So if I don't say it pretty soon, let me know. I think I've caught everybody so far. All right, but sometimes I do miss it, so you have to help me out a little bit. My DNA. We drink your DNA. Offerings coming in. These keep coming in, so that's kind of what I do until we get caught up here. Well, we drink your DNA so we can do what you say. Yeah. We have a great day when we drink your DNA. All right. It is happening. Things are getting done. When we drink your DNA, the blessings, they stay. Because we do what you say. By drinking your DNA, we drink your DNA, and the blessings always stay. Hey, 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 oh, we rejoice, yeah, 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 yeah. Man, I'm writing a song tonight, my gosh. Thank you, Jesus. We drink your DNA, because we don't want to play. We want to do the real thing. Okay. Okay. All right. I got knocked off the show myself. There for a second. Okay. All right, check it one more time, and then we will get ready to take the prayer offerings tonight. Thank you for everything you do. That's really cool.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, I tell you, the RPC come in sometimes and keep up with it over here. It's amazing. It's just, sometimes people give late because of timing, whatever. Thank you for it. I'm grateful for obeying the Lord. I just start paying up our offerings, people give us the stuff and do it as we go here. All right, Andrea, $5. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on Andrea, God. And thank you, Lord, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to her, that you get to know the Holy Spirit's ministry in a brand new way of intercession and of resting in God, or rest in the Lord. And start counting things that are done, you know, count them as finished, you know. I know, kind of, God has to remind me of this stuff all the time, Andrea, about consider those things done, right, finished. Because I'm trying to work it, I'm trying to, you know, I'm concerned about it, did I do enough today? Obeying God is everything, but the finished work of Calvary is something that he has to remind me of all the time. Because we keep in our nature, we want to pay for it, we want to take care of it, we want to do it, we want to make it happen. And the only thing that makes things happen, really, is when we obey the Lord. We can do all extra bunch of extra good things, and it may look real good and nice, but, you know, when we obey him, the blessings come, and they can't be stopped. I think about it, we realize that the blessings cannot be stopped when we obey God. Because the cause of a blessing being stopped is somehow in us, right? Somehow it's in us. Well, I'm doing everything right. Well, something, I don't know. I'm not going to blame on anybody. But we got to find out what the cause is, right? And that's what most people don't want to do. They don't find it. Sometimes it's hard to go to the doctor because you might find out, oh, I might have something. It is scary to do that. It is. I know. And, you know, so it's amazing. Like, I went and had my blood work done finally after, you know, 60-something years old, and I'm having my blood work done for the first time and maybe ever. And, man, I was, like, a little nervous, you know, and my blood work was almost perfect. I couldn't believe it. I was just shocked. Even my sugar was – I thought I had sugar issues, you know, and that blood work said you don't have any sugar issues. I couldn't believe it. It was just, like, you know, a clean bill of health. I think I was, like, tenth of a tenth of a tenth of a 10% on two things off, and everything else was really good, you know. Yeah, so cause of my concerns was that worried, you know, I wasn't worried too much about it, but enough to, you know, in the back of your head, you know, you always wonder. That's why I take Echinacea. I've been taking Echinacea for years. The reason is because I'm fighting things that could be that are hidden. Like Judy had that thing hidden in her, nobody knew it. Because your pancreas, you can't feel your pancreas. Your pancreas doesn't reveal pain, according to the doctor, the experts. And we went, wow, my God. So she had something growing in there and didn't even know it, right? So I told her, and when all this stuff started happening, I said, yeah, you know, that's why I started taking Echinacea years ago, before I met her even, you know, for that very reason, it helps your immune system fight off things. Right, and so that was my, you know, answer, and I guess it's working. Seems to be. So anyway, so I found the cause of my worry about some things because I didn't go have my blood work done. Right, get my blood work done. Went, oh my God! And not only am I glad I went, I'm really healthier than I thought. You know, it's awesome so far. But we find out the cause of things. If you get a chance to listen to the message that we talked about tonight, the cause of things, really, really big word for me. Really, really big word for me. All right, Barbara, $5.50. Thank you. I believe in God for that man. Amen. That is the man God wants you to have in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for opening it up. And, you know, God, that she's ready, that she's prepared. Some of us think we don't have any issues until we get married and we start thinking that it's got to be their fault, right? That's what every person does. You know, having a good man. I didn't have any problems until I got married. Going like,
So marriage is just not, no. Marriage reveals issues real quick. It reveals issues. We got to start being straight with this stuff and quit deceiving ourselves. Like, oh, it's all their fault. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have this. I wouldn't be, you know, having my all problem. I didn't have any problems when I was living in my closet until I got out and started talking to people. Then I found that all these people are messed up. Yeah. Right. Anyway, Barb, I know you know that, but you know, that's what we get ready for, man. Your marriage is like a wonderful thing. If you get two people together that understand this thing, that it's not all your fault, it's all my wife's fault, it's all my husband's fault, you know, we start realizing, we got a good thing going on. That's right. So we got to find somebody, believe God, to bring somebody that understands all that stuff and at least gets taught it. And then it takes a while to get in your system. Because right away, something goes, oh, man, that sorry attitude she had, my wife had this sorry attitude, man. And that's why I'm, yeah. Well, it might just be revealing some weakness in me. Did it? Absolutely. Absolutely. Sometimes it's just the thing is, it's not valid. With me, a lot of things is nothing wrong with bending, you know, in certain things you can bend, you know. Something she just can't compromise on. Like, when you get a word from the Lord about, you know, the word of the Lord, you can't bend on that. You think, oh, well, let's add to this, take away from him. No, you can't add or take away from him because it defiles it. And learn there about that. Been there, done that. And God let me learn about it. And, yeah. So thank you, Lord, for that man, for Barbara. God, we just thank you, Jesus, that you bring her someone that will know that we get the log out of our eye before we, say it's our wife or our husband, that way we can grow together in grace and let our husbands or wives be used as a mirror to show us things in our life that we need to be, you know, to grow closer to Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Open that up, God, and let the heavings that we need begin. Hallelujah. Paul the Apostle wasn't married, right? So obviously he didn't need that mirror. But he got mirrored in other ways. Yeah, like a thorn in the flesh. My husband is a thorn in the flesh. Yeah, I know. My wife is too. I mean, my kids. No, I mean, my kids. No, it's my boss. It's my job. No, that's it. Yeah. I don't know. I'm crazy. Got to keep drinking that DNA. Keep drinking that DNA. Come what may. I'll be free. I'm going to be free, man. I'm going to drink his blood, change my DNA up in Jesus' image. Believe me, because the world is working on it. I guarantee you that. They are working on it. They got a system set up already. Yeah, they do. Since the world looks broken enough, they're going to jump in. We're coming up on that pretty quick. All right, I'm going all over the place here. Deborah and John, $7. Thank you, Deborah and John. Thank you, Lord, for fostering them, God, for blessing them, for increasing them, multiplying them. God, may they have wisdom. May their wisdom, the wisdom that John gets, like a piece of puzzle, is the wisdom that Deborah gets with a piece of puzzle and put those puzzles together and come up with a, you know, one puts a thousand. 10,000 to fly in the sense that we're not only friends in marriage, but we're connected like a God connection in marriage, like no other connection. And we thank you, Lord, that all those things, we work out our salvation through and around each other. Amen. By the wisdom each person gets. And thank you, Lord, for that wisdom, God, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Christ Jesus. And Deborah and John, God, that they walk in it together. They put their wisdom together and see that, oh, yeah, that's going to fit with that. Yeah. I didn't think that fit because, you know, I thought my idea was really, really the best idea. But you know what? Your idea and my idea together, you know, from God, that's like, wow. I mean, sometimes it's hard to see somebody's idea fits with ours. I've seen prophetic words, you know, people, you know, like in a group thing one time gave some prophetic words and, at first, they thought they were all mixed up, and then pretty soon they started looking at them real close, and that all fits together like a puzzle, man. It's amazing. Yeah, and then they, you know, really cool, learned anything. Yeah, so let it be done. Somebody gave $8.08 in a PayPal fund. I don't know who it was. The name hasn't revealed itself yet. But anyway, whoever that is, we thank you, Jesus, for the care and the love, God, that you've given that in Jesus' name, that they're become fascinated with care and love, not only giving care and love, but receiving care and love. Amen. The reason we give care and love is so we can receive it, right? We need to receive it. That's how we receive what we need, is by giving what we need. We give what we need away, and we receive it. So I thank the Lord for this friend of mine, God, whoever they are, in Jesus' name, that they will see that, know that, understand that, that the reason they give is to receive and to be rewarded. What's the reward? To get what you need in your life, right? We give away things not to get them for us and our selfishness. We give things away so we can get what we need from God. That's how we get things from God. Come buy me gold, tried, and fire, right? So we buy how? Not with money, but with learning and growing and giving. Giving our time, giving our prayers, giving our compassion. And then we receive what we need when we need it, compassion, you know, prayers and all that. All right, Angela Joy, $8.88. Thank you, Angela. Thank you, Jesus, for Angela. We thank you, Lord, for the crowning of her, you know, like God crowning you in Jesus' name, saying, good job. You know, like Jesus, when he got baptized, you know, this is my beloved son, who I'm well pleased. You know, good job. Even though he hadn't really done anything yet, he had done a lot, but he hadn't done anything as far as ministry goes. And thank you, Cheryl. I see that you see you're traveling right now. Okay. Wow. Awesome. I don't know if you're listening to the show or not. I didn't read your text, but I saw it kind of clipped up real quick. All right, everybody, and other people text me right now. Indrika, thank you for that. Also, Carmen, thank you. Got that. Yes, thank you, guys. All right, I try to catch the text. Sometimes I miss them, but give me a second. Oh, she had a delayed flight going on. All right. Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right. Deborah and John, yes. PayPal fund, got that. All right. Angel of Joy, got that. Thank you, Jesus, for that for that crowning moment, for rewarding her, God. That's what rewards are, Barbara. Angela, you know, they are the things that we do for God. I really don't want the reward. Well, we do want the reward when we understand it, because the reward is the next level you go to for God and with God. He rewards you with favor. He rewards you with breakthrough. He rewards you with, you know, a new vision. That's what the reward is. It's for the next level of God. I mean, what greater reward can we have than a higher level of God's will? And all the things it comes with. Amen? I mean, there's nothing. I mean, when I started understanding the reward system, I realized that the devil has convinced us that, oh, I don't want the rewards because I'm not doing it for the rewards. But when you understand what the rewards are for, that they're there to take you to the next God's next level of his will, that's the reward. The reward Jesus got on the day he got baptized, good and faithful, sir, you know, my beloved son, who I'm well pleased. He said, welcome. You get to go be tempted of the devil now. You know, you finally get to go do that. I mean, it's going to be awesome. And then when you conquer that, good job. You're going to take the next step level. The reward you get is moving into, going into Nazareth and going to the temple and telling them who you are. Like, what's that going to be like? It's going to be awesome. From Jesus' standpoint, the devil's not going to like it, but that's the reward, man. Rewards. That's what rewards are. Rewards are not for our selfish, greedy little selves, as we know. We know that by now, I think. I've talked about that a lot of times. I have to keep telling myself, because that's something I forget, you know. I do. Because I'm so used to that old false humility thing, like I had for years, and still have. Oh, yeah, well, I don't really want the reward. Thinking here I'm rejecting God's next level of his will in my life, and the finances that go with it, and the favor goes with it, and the anointing goes with it. Oh, I don't want that. No, I'm not doing it for that. Yeah, we are. Yes, we are. So if you never heard that teaching, maybe just ask me and I'll do it again if you want. That would be cool. All right, Shalonda, $10. Thank you, Shalonda. Thank you, Lord, for Shalonda's faithfulness, God, to you, and her ability to be patient when she needs to. Oh, of course you're not perfect. Never mind. But your patience, and you're learning to be patient. You're learning the purpose of patience. The purpose of patience is that, you know, when I've gone through really big trials, it's like my trial is to see if somebody can upset me or not. Like come up and slap me around, spiritually speaking, talk ugly about me. And then we spend the next half a month, you know, taking up for myself. So being patient means I don't yield to that. Being patient means I endure it. So I don't spend the next 6 months wasting my time and get angry and figure out, you know, you think you're better than me, arguing and fighting with myself and them and whatever it is. But giving it over, being patient, you know, going, okay, I forgive you. Because the strategy of the enemy is he wants us to get us caught up into that whirlwind, you know, start fighting everybody and everything. Because, you know, you need to do that to me, by golly. Yeah, I know who I am, Christ. I'm going to show you. Like, how many times have I done that? Ooh, wow. But so many times I haven't been doing it. That's cool. Yeah. And I still slip, man. I still catch myself 5 minutes later going, dear God, I blew that one. You know, what am I doing? I knew better. But that's what the thing is. It catches off guard, right? So it starts that way. It really hammers it in us, you know, so we don't ever get caught off guard. That's the goal. God help me with that one. Yeah, Shalonda, there you go. That way you never fail a test, right? You never have to go around the mountain again, right, on that thing or whatever it is. We get to move into the promised land. It's the whole thing about moving to the promises. God can trust us with the promise. All right, Sally, $12. Thank you, Sally. UK London. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for the big picture. God's showing you the big picture. Sort of opening your eyes up to the big picture. You can see the big picture. I don't know how you can do it through other people or through the Holy Spirit or both at all or the Word. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to do it, but showing you the big picture. Not just of the global thing going on around the world. That, all of it. Like showing you where you fit into it. You know, why God has positioned you where He's positioned you. That's not a mistake. It's not, you know, it's God positioning you, testing you, trying you, growing you, loving you, blessing you, and to fulfill you into the will of God so that you're, you know, tip-top shape so that when things happen, you're already been all trained up. You got your armor, you got your gear on, you're ready to go. And when the attacks come, you're like going, man, I'm ready for this. You're going to see people falling apart because they're not ready. They haven't been prepared. Oh, my God. But you'll be prepared and ready, and therefore God can exalt you in that due season. Pretty sure. Very sure. I'm pretty sure. I mean, it's very sure. For sure. Yeah. All right. Angela from North Carolina, South Carolina, 1580. Thank you, Angela. Jesus' name, I just see a thankfulness rising up in you, like a new gratitude to the Lord, like God's been birthing this in you, a gratitude and a thankfulness. You know, a lot of times with me, when I'm going through something, and I can't seem to get over it, it's like when he breathes a fresh dose of gratitude inside me, man, it's like, wow, it just cleanses your brain out, you know, from all the bogged down nonsense we go through every day. Like it cleanses, it like the wind blows through your brain and kind of airs it out, you know, where you can think straight again. And, you know, and then God's showing you how to keep that air, the Holy Spirit's wind blowing through your mind, to keep things straight. You know, when something's not right, get it out quick. You know, somebody says something ugly, somebody does something, maybe you make a mistake, maybe you fail, you feel like you failed something, whatever. You know, who cares? Failures happen all the time, but it's those who learn from them who become successful. Not about how many times you make a mistake. It's whether you endure until the end and you overcome. Like the guy who made the light bulb. How many times did he make mistakes? One mistake, showed him what he wasn't supposed to do. and the possibility of something he was going to do. And finally, he kept working it. Amen. And he became blessed. So every time he got a little progress, even though it didn't totally work like he wanted, he got a little bit more progress. He was grateful. He was thankful. At least, look at it. It got better. It got better. Every time it gets better. It gets better. It gets better. Every time it gets better. Yeah. Amen. Because we go and learn from what doesn't work, knowing that we're going to get it. Amen. In Jesus' name, going to work it, use it like a tool, like a gift. When I learned it, and when I started seeing the consistency of the prophetic and word of knowledge and everything flowing through me, then I just started, you know, learning how to work it. I just stepped out of the boat and I wasn't afraid. I'm not going to be afraid to do this. And I started working it, man. The more I worked it, the more I learned how, you know, adjust and feel and sense and know and be careful and watch over and step out boldly and all that. It just takes doing it. There's no way, nothing's going to replace doing. That's why faith is without works is dead. That's why the doing is so strong, because you can't learn to do something unless you get out there and do it. You can't learn to play basketball by watching it all the time. You have to get out there and start bouncing the ball yourself. When you start getting up and doing it, then your brain starts getting it, and then pretty soon your brain gets trained. Once your brain gets trained, you got it. Once that brain gets trained, it's in there. All you do is recall it, remember it. That's going to do something with your memory, too, where you can, you know, have memory of things that you need to add to what you're doing in everyday life to give you freedom. All right, Latoria, $20. Thank you, Latoria from Texas. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for Latoria. Thank you, God, for the enemies, that her enemies, God, that people that try to be enemies or act like enemies. Sometimes they just act like enemies. Sometimes they're not really an enemy. Sometimes people are just trying to dominate and show you, man, I'm better than, I can do it better than you do. It's not an enemy thing. Sometimes it's competition. You know, sometimes it's, you know, people trying you out. So we start to see who our real enemies are and what's just competition and what's just, you know, we're in a fight and we're in a battle. You know, we're trying to, you know, run the race and win the race. And so find out who your enemies are and find out how to deal with your enemies. And then find out, you know, those that really aren't your enemies, but they're just competition as far as God. Sometimes the only way God could get me to do things sometimes back in the day is to bring competition to me. Yeah, look at there. They're better than you are, Randy. And we're like, what? I don't think so. They can do that better. They can shoot. You know, I used to love to go hunting. And it was a very good shot. You know, God helped me with that. And as a young kid, I could shoot better than my uncles and, you know, all kind of thing. And some things you just like, you know, it's like, you know, you get challenged over it. And then the challenge is what, you know, gets you activated and doing things to take everything to a higher level. It's when we get loose and sit back and like, everything's fine, everything's going okay. That's when we don't grow. But when all of a sudden you got challenges and people are provoking you and got so-called enemies. Maybe they're not really enemies, but they look like enemies. What's that doing? It's to stir you up, to sharpen your gift, to step out there and show them your stuff, man, that God's with you and, you know, all whatever, in Jesus' name. And can be a so God, in other words, God has a way of waking us up, you know, to new levels, to new places, right? Yeah. So awaken, God. You're awakening Latoria in new areas, in new ways, for new things. And all the things that she's been asleep in, maybe for whatever reason, pain, sorrow, mistakes, heartache, you know, didn't do it right the first time, and kind of got, you know, well, maybe I'm not supposed to do that. And so you start awakening her to, you know, she's supposed to do that, but sometimes timing and maturity are the big key to making the thing successful. Amen. All right, Regina, $20 from California. Thank you, Lord, Regina, for that place. God, we thank you, Lord, for Regina. God, we thank you for her sufferings, God, that you're going to turn every one of her sufferings into glory, every one of them into glory, just like you did Joseph. He ended up thinking, you know, why did my brothers turn against me? Why did they, you know, why did that? He thought, is it something I did wrong? And you go through all those things, Regina. I go through those things. Joseph went through all that, I'm sure, like, did I do something wrong? And then he got a little bit older. He realized, oh, yeah, I was a young punk kid, and I'm telling him, y'all going to bow down to me. No wonder they did that. And he started thinking things through and getting wisdom and knowledge.
But the truth is that God allowed the whole thing to happen for his benefit. And then later he says, you know, what you guys meant for evil, God meant it for good. You know, and he was able to forgive them because he saw that God was doing it. It wasn't them just doing it. It was God. God used them and their evil, jealous, whatever, to get him where he was supposed to be. And then he began to be thankful for it. So when we start being thankful for our what our, quote, enemies have done or what the people have turned against us have done, we start seeing, we get that turnaround thing in us, start seeing that it was for our good, for our glory, and for our blessing, to raise us up, to make us bigger, to make us stronger, you know, give us something to fight for something greater. You go, oh, my God, thank you, Lord. Yeah, and he they came and bowed down to him, and he just took care of them, their children, got them land and property, and you know, set them all up, man. He set them up, the Pharaoh, gave him favor with the head man. And man, the best property in Egypt, some of the best property right there, gave it to him. You know, so it was like when you realize that it's all working out for your good, that then you can go, man, it's not no big thing to try to forgive those people what they did, because it was there to work for me. It was all working for me because God, because I love God and I'm part of his purpose, so he worked it all out for good for me. It didn't always work out good for everybody. Case, it worked out pretty good for everybody. But sometimes it doesn't always work out for the other people. I mean, I've seen cases where it didn't work out very good for some people at all. I mean, I don't understand all that exactly. But when we see it like Joseph saw it, then that changes everything. It keeps our attitude right where we don't drown in the storm of the whole thing. Right? Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, anyway, okay. Okay, thank you. Go here. All right, Robin, $25. Thank you, Lord, for Robin. Thank you, God, for the restoration, God, of Robin. God, like a pure restoration in her life, restoring her mind to a whole other level, restoring her brain to whole new places, to revealing, just like you did. I'm talking about Joseph a lot because Joseph is a big guy. But restoring, like you did with Joseph, you restored him and got his thinking on track, where he started understanding, you know, that it was everything is not about whether my brothers do right or not, or what they're doing right or not. It's what I'm doing right. It's what I'm doing with God. What am I doing with God? And when I'm doing with God, then God's not going to let anything happen to you that's not going to better you or make you greater. Right? And we start seeing that. That's where we start. That's where our mind starts being renewed. Our mind gets renewed in the fact that we start changing the way we see it, you know, and know it. And, so thank you, Lord, for Robin. God, we thank you for that restoration. Not just the physical things only. That's all. Everything's important. There's not one thing that's not important. You know, your mind to a new place of, you know, taking, you know, the old things and turning it into new things. Right, and the fact remaining is because Joseph kept, just like you keep serving God and doing what God says the best you can and doing what he says, then you know that it's going to work out good for you because you keep in love. We got in the scripture last week that what can separate us from the love of God? What's the whole strategy of Satan in the world? Just separate us from the love, right? But we don't, as long as we don't allow that, right? We don't allow that. Nobody can take it from us. We can give it over. Nobody can take it from us. So when we keep loving God, then he keeps working everything out for our good, just like he did Joseph. Joseph just kept loving God. He kept saying, God, you know, like Job, if you slay me, I'm going to praise you. And that beautiful thing, man. And, it caused everything, Romans 8:28, to work out together for good. To who? To those who love God. So what's the enemy trying to do? Trying to rob our love. He takes, trying to take our, to Job's love away from him, his children. You know, he loved doing his business. That all got taken from him. Not that he loved the money, but he loved the business. He loved doing, when you have that stuff, you love doing that stuff. And it's all taken away from him to see where his love really was. And once he kept his love on that, stayed on the Lord, then God totally turned it all around
and made Satan look really bad, which was part of the strategy I had, because he knew I can make Satan, I can defeat Satan through Job. Yeah, Job, I know Job. I know what he can do. Yeah, okay, Satan, you want to try him? You know, hey, have you considered Job over here? Yeah, yeah, just try. Okay, I remember the hedge. Okay, yeah, gone, go. Just don't kill him. Yeah, and boy, when he the devil got defeated because Job didn't, you know, curse God, and the devil got defeated, and Job learned more about God, and God got the glory from it all. So same thing with you. Amen. God's going to do that. The whole thing is keep on loving God. Keep on loving Jesus. Keep in loving Jesus. He's all the reason that we can bless and forgive and even forgive ourselves sometimes. Things that we think that, like Joseph probably had to forgive himself for what he thought he did, even though God used it. You know, when he said about y'all going to be without enemies, he probably thought, oh, I shouldn't have said that, man. The way I said it was like so arrogant or whatever. Even though it was God, he thought he messed it up. Even that stuff, you know, gets all dealt with and washed away. Sometimes we accuse ourselves. We have more of a trouble forgiving ourselves for our shortcomings, you know, than we do to the people that do us wrong. We're angry at ourselves. And it takes a lot. That's why I take communion every day, to live in that realm of forgiving and forgiving myself. Not because I'm doing some horrible sin, so much as it is coming short of what I feel like God's called me to do. That's what I have to deal with. God, am I going to mess it up? Yeah. Yeah. All right, Nikki Charles, $25. Thank you, Nikki. I saw no prayer request on there, but thank you, Jesus, for Nikki and Charles. Thank you, Lord, for completing the work that you began. And Jesus, thank you for blessing them and changing their resources, changing the way they get the resources, change the way they think about the resources. God, in Jesus' name, transition over into a new system and get out of the old system, get a new system going on. You just think, how can God give me a different system? I don't know, but that's what I'm saying. So thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, and yeah, that every motive and intention is directed by the Father. You know, the will of God and the intentions and our will, our motives and our intentions are all about our will. Right? So when people say you have wrong motives, what you have is the wrong will. Right? So when God started dealing with me, he said, Randy, you know, your intentions are wrong here. You know, that's not my will. If you have wrong intentions, it leads you to go against his will or, you know, a different direction than his will. So that's why our intentions and motives, that's what deals with me all the time about this. Like, what's your motive? What's your motive in this? What's your motive in this? So long as I'm keeping my motive right and my intentions right, then I know, you know, God's going to bless me. There's no doubt about it. And that became my system of thinking, was focusing in on, you know, what God's telling me. Give me courage to forgive myself for coming short of, you know, like one of the big breakthroughs. I talk about this a lot with one of my good friends, prophet friends, told me one time, you know, I see that you think you've taken care of some things that you really haven't taken care of yet. And I'm like, why? How can that be right? And I started this being, I don't know what I thought he was being, but he's my brother. And so I went home that night, sure enough, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm boo-hooing and wailing like a freight train, whatever, like a, you know. And I'm going at it, man. Boo-hoo. And, you know, God started dealing with me. Okay, thanks for wanting to show you. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And, all right, yeah. So, you know, we think we think motive intention is like we have some evil motive. It's not about evil motive. It's about, you know, how are we looking at that as the purpose of God in our life? If it's not in the purpose of God, then we might as well just throw it out, no matter how beautiful it is, no matter how nice it is. If it's not in the purposes of God, then we just throw it out. We've got to get rid of it. And it's stopping us. You know, it becomes an intention, a wrong motive. So we cleanse ourselves from things, you know. And like I said, I'm not talking about some evil, bad, nasty desire. I'm talking about stuff that just choose door number one, door number two, and the door number one is prettier, so you choose it because it's prettier. It's the wrong motive. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like some evil, bad thing. And so God's going to increase that in you and perfect that in you to know his will and your motives and your intentions. And as we make our motives, we check our motives on everything, like I do, you know, when I take communion, I check my motives. God, if my will is not set with your will, if my motive intentions are to something else other than yours, to do something other than your will, Jesus' motives and intentions, when he said, you know, can this cup pass from me, were his motives were wrong. They were wrong motives. He didn't yield to them or he'd have been sinned. But his motive's intention was, you know, I can do this over here and keep doing miracles for a few more years. What's wrong with that? Well, wrong motive. Well, healings and miracles, what's wrong about that? Nothing, except it wasn't God's will. Jesus had to say, okay, my motive or my will, not my motive, not my intention, but or not my will, but your will be done. So I'm seeing this whole new thing, man, on motives and intentions, boy. It's like really nailing me really good in some beautiful ways because I'm asking God to show me anything in my life that's stopping me from 100% of the will of God, 100%. And I'm far from that, but I'm getting closer. And therefore, I do that. I teach it. I talk it to others. I prophesy to others because I know it's important to learn. Hallelujah. Really important to learn. Okay. Dawn. I've got to pray for Dawn for an offering. Robin, thank you, Robin, for reminding me of that. I thank God for our friends that they don't mind letting me know. Don't forget that. I already did. I don't think I looked at your offering very well. I didn't see that, so I missed that. Okay. Let's see here. We're going to pray for Dawn. Give me just a second here, everybody. Okay. Okay, give me a second here. There's all kinds of things happening here. Still added here. Thank you for being patient with me, everybody. Okay. Yeah, I see there's your offering. You said pray for Don. I didn't see it. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God I didn't forget that or didn't not do that. Amen. All right, Robin, pray for Don tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Don. God, I thank you for Don, God, that Don's, you know, the brokenness that Don has gone through and the failures and the things that he feels like he has failed. God, show him that all those things that look like failure are going to be things that are going to teach him what he needs to learn for his future. those failures become those mistakes, those whatever, they become the very things that we learn from. And because obviously the enemy hits us with our weaknesses, you know, the Bible says in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit helps us pray, you know, in our weaknesses, because of our weaknesses, and we all have weaknesses. And those weaknesses, when the Holy Spirit begins to pray, turns them into the will of God, or turns them into a blessing where they, God restores them, uses our failures and mistakes and things that we look back at to teach us and train us how to forgive, how to love, how to not do the same thing over again. Because when the future comes and we keep making the same mistakes, then so what do we learn from? We learn from our failures and mistakes, right? We can't be afraid to look at them and just like, oh, I'm a Christian, I don't have to look at those anymore. No, we look at them not in condemnation, but we look at our mistakes and our failures in the light of, you know, learning and growing so we won't do it again. Not doing it again doesn't mess with God that much, except we go in circles every time we don't learn, right? We do the same thing again. Oh, God, did it again, man. How did I do that, man? So we start learning from it, and then those things, then we don't go in the mountain again and waste time. Because that's what keeps us from getting into our promises and moving into the place where God can bless us and have the blessings of God and comfort and peace and strength and, you know, a future and feeling confident that God is with us, is that we're able to learn from the things that we mess up. God doesn't mess up anything, but we do. But God says, no condemnation, man. Look at that. Learn from it. Grow from it. Guess what? Next time it comes along, you're not going to go around the mountain again. You're going to go into the promises. You're going to go right into the promises. Blame everybody. You didn't tell everybody. It was all their fault. No, except that most of us do. But you should forgive and bless and realize that, you know, I came short of the glory of God. They might have been bad people. Maybe I did some things, didn't know it, that made them kind of think that I was against them. And maybe you did. So what? Big deal. God, help me. Show me. Show me how to not even have the appearance of evil or have any appearance, because sometimes the appearances of evil, you know, make people go, you know, they just come after you, man. And the whole time, your motive was not that at all. And it looked like it. So thank you, God, for training Don, God, and blessing God financially, God. I thank you for opening up his financial wallet and blessing him to where he can find ways to get have money coming in, in Jesus' name, to supply him into his future, you know, adding to what you have to what the other person. In other words, you have two people that are adding, that have something that has fruit to it, or blessings, or stuff coming in from God, then, you know, you bring those two things together, you got, you know, double blessing. Right? When you got married to somebody who never does anything, or lazy, and they do nothing, and really make any money, not producing fruit, then you got, you know, it becomes a hindrance. So you bring two people together, God, that are producing wealth and blessing one way or the other. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for opening that up. Amen. And we thank you, Lord, for Don, for delivering him, God. Delivering him from the grip of the enemy in any way that the enemy would oppress him and come against him, God, and giving your nature and your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. I'll be right back with you. I'm sneezing, believe it or not. I think I'm getting delivered again. Awesome. I'll be right back. I sneezed about 10 times, I think. Cool, man. I will take that. Cleaned out your system, that's for sure. I love to sneeze. I really do. I'm just saying, you know what's going on. Woo! That was awesome, man. Wow. Great God. All right, give me a minute here. I'm going to check some things out. Just a little bit. all kinds of things going on here. Thank you. Okay. All right, y'all. Hang on a second. There's just a thing in the world coming in. Cool. Here we go. We're going to add it again. Sneezed a bunch of times. That was awesome. All right. Sandra, $25. Thank you, Sandra and Robert, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for that blessing. God, we thank you, Lord, for new activities, God, new activities, bringing in new activities, you know, from heaven, like the heavens are busy. And God, let them catch it, that move their miss their visitations whenever they come, God, that they will connect every visitation, whatever form or fashion that it takes on, God, that they will be in the right place at the right time, that their heart for you, God, is to just obey your word and do what you say and follow your word and do what the word of the Lord is, whatever God's speaking to your heart. Our sheep know my voice. It's about knowing the voice of God and following the voice and watching that it lines up with the word of God. That's how we can stay balanced, right, is we listen to the voice of God. Deuteronomy 28 says, obey diligently, hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, and then to his commands or his word. And so when you do that, you keep a balance in your life. So I see God really showing you guys how to keep a balance, to check each other out. You know, yeah, the voice of God said this, but doesn't line up somehow with the word. And sometimes things line up with the word, and it's hard to see it. So we have to really look good. You have to really look good sometimes to see, oh, that's not in the word of God. Oh, yeah, well, maybe it is in there somewhere, and you just don't know it. Right? So we have to look hard. But it always, the voice of God always lines up with the word. God's going to tell us the particular thing, and there's not, that's not that thing is not in the Bible anywhere in specifics, but in generalities, and that, you know, in his purpose it is. So, okay, there it is right there. So the principality, the principle of it is there, and therefore gives me the authority to do it in Jesus' name. So learn about God's authority from his voice and from his word. Right? We always check everything out according to the written word. But the big thing that is really difficult, Robert and Sandra, about the written word is that there's a lot of things in there we don't know about yet as far as revelation from it. The revelation can change everything on what we hear from God, thinking, oh, that's not in the Bible. Yeah, if it came from God, it's in there somewhere. And being able to understand it, find it, and put it into action so that you can do it with a clear conscience, right, and do it with a clear conscience. All right, Bianca, $45. Thank you, Bianca, for that $45. Thank you, Lord, that you given Bianca that, you know, that you're not afraid of chastisement. Chastisement is he chastens the ones he loves. You know, God chastens me at times, you know, because he loves me. And so we watch, and when we watch God chasing other people, we've got to realize that God is doing it because he loves them, right? He's chastening them because he loves them. This chastening is kind of like the word. He's trying to get. He's chasing after them. He's chastening them. you know, and he's done what he has to do to get them, you know, to yield to him. And whatever that takes, that's what he does. And so the purpose of chastening is because he loves us and that we're missing out on some of his love blessings. So chastening is all about love, completely and totally about love. Right? So God begins to open us up to the love realm. We start seeing that chastening is a big part of love because God hates it when we miss out on his full blessing. He don't want us just to have part of it. He wants us to have the full thing. And so what does chastening do? It's for our good. It's for our blessing in Jesus' name. So thank the Lord for that and teaching Bianca that when she sees that happening to other people or it never happens to her, she will know. You know, God's doing this because, you know, he's trying to raise me up higher, give me a clear understanding of things that I haven't understood before. And so, you know, he's going, hey, Bianca, man, I got a lot more for you. You know, you just can't see it yet. So, you know, he chastens us. In other words, he chastens us down. And, you know, goes after us to say, hey, I'm chasing after you, right? We think it's all about us chasing after him, and it is partially. But the other part of it is he's chasing after us. And so I know the words aren't the same, but the kind of little play on words there. But he's chasing you. Oh, mama, Dad, I heard all these things going with our friend. God's chasing him. No, he's being chastened. No, God's chastening him, and he's chasing after him. Yeah, so thank you, Lord, for that whole thing about God doesn't like to let people go. Sometimes we'll be saying, get out of here. I don't want you to, but God will go, no, I want you to, you know, I may let him go, but I'm gonna chase after him until they get it right. You know, and that's what God's love is. And so you're going to really have this thing about God's love. God's chastening people and his people because he loves them. And understanding that thing that's going on is a love message from God saying, I love you, and I'm coming after you, you know, whoever they are, whatever they is, whatever the situation is, and showing you the real, showing you different levels of God's love, Bianca, different ways that God loves people, the different ways that he does that and does love through you, you know, like we chasing our children, you know, but why? Because we love them. You know, if we could let them get by with that, they're going to think it's okay and go the wrong direction. Yeah, so it's a beautiful thing, God helping you identify with his love, even with your own personal life, and seeing how that you're called to that. You know, just like God chases us, you chasing your children. Amen? Yeah, because you love them. All right, awesome. And God bless her finances. Open her the financial dimension up to her God where she can see herself being blessed unexpectedly. And all kinds of coin coming in. Kimberly and Derek, $51.52. Thank you for that, Kimberly. Kimberly and Derek, $30. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Jesus, for Kimberly and Derek. Lord, we thank you for Derek tonight. We thank you, Jesus, for maturing him, God, for growing him, that they grow together, that, God, you show Kimberly and Derek how to grow together, how to be friends and how to grow together, how to be a sounding board sometimes and arguing in a good way or discussing things, you know, in a good fashion is good. People think arguing is bad. Arguing is not bad. Like an attorney argues a court case, you know, defending somebody. He's arguing, you know, he's doing it because he's trying to, you know, prove them innocent or whatever. And so, you know, there's that thing of, you know, growing together, you know, maturing together. Going, wow, we grew together. You know, we really let that bother us. And then when we got through it, yeah, we talked it out. We got out in the open. We, you know, you were doing some things you thought was right. I've done things I thought was right. We got out in the open. We found out that, you know, we had to make some adjustments. And we grew together. There's nothing more beautiful, Kimberly and Derek, of growing together, maturing together. Because we keep maturing in all of our lives. All right? Yeah. The older we get, the more we realize we need to mature. You know, more and more mature. And we'll never stop maturing. Right? Until that which is perfect comes. And then all the little parts kind of like, you know, go away. We start figuring out things. So thank the Lord that they learn how to work together, talk things out together, communicate with each other, share each other's burdens and problems and issues, and come up with answers, God. Sometimes the answer is, I love you. That's it. I'm not trying to they're always trying to figure it out. Sometimes women don't want you to figure their problem out. They just want you to listen to them. It really is true, because sometimes you just need somebody to talk it out with and do it in a way that, you know, they can walk away and go, yeah, I got it out. I got it out in the open. Now I can see differently. Sometimes we just need somebody to talk to get it. We don't need them to give us a bunch of answers. That would be okay. But the big thing is sometimes we just need to hear it, talk it out, get it out of ourselves so we can think differently about it. Amen. Thank you for Cassandra. God, for $10 for Cassandra. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for opening Cassandra's heart, God, to receive you and forgive herself. To know that we the first person that we forgive really is ourselves. And sometimes if we don't forgive others, it's because we're not forgiving ourselves. When you forgive yourself, you forgive others. You keep a sober mind on your mistakes and your failures. Like, yeah, God forgive me. Yeah, well then I can forgive myself, and I can forgive others. So the better you are at forgiving yourself, the better you're gonna be at forgiving others. Because if we find ourselves unforgiving toward others, we're gonna find out that really the truth is we're not forgiving ourselves. There's some kind of root going on where we're not forgiving ourselves about something. And the manifestation of that is that we find ourselves unforgiving toward other people. So we learn how to, you know, forgive ourselves. It takes time to learn. I take communion every day for that purpose, to, you know, keep myself in this non-condemning fashion of, you know, forgiving myself, loving myself, and that way I'm able to love others. If you don't love yourself, you don't forgive yourself, you're not going to be able to forgive others. It's a big thing, really a very important thing. All right, and God bless you in that. May God increase you with his love and compassion in Jesus' name to pour out to others. Cassandra. All right, Zachary, $10. Thank you for that. Zachary, thank you, Jesus, for Zachary blessing Zachary, God, that Zachary will learn things about healing, learn how to mend people, how to mend things, how to fix things, how to heal things, how to make things work. That thing in him that wants to make things work, sometimes we want to take things apart, because we're trying to figure out how they work. And people think the kid's just tearing up the... No, he's trying to figure out how it works, so he take it apart. And people do all the time. They take things apart, put things back together. And sometimes it doesn't work when they get back together, but, you know, that's the reason they're doing it, because they're trying to figure the thing out. And it's a gift. And when they figure it out, you want them around you, because they'll take things and make them, fix them, they'll heal them or whatever. So thank you for that ability in Zachary, God, to take things apart, figure them out, learn the ways of a thing so that you can do it and figure out any kind of problem that needs to be figured out in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Daryl Paul, $99.99. Thank you, Daryl Paul. Thank you, Jesus, for the wisdom and the grace you've given him, God, for to see himself as a servant of God, to see himself as a human, who, though we all have weaknesses and failures, and Romans 8 says the Holy Spirit comes and helps us in our weaknesses. So Paul's saying everybody has weaknesses. We don't know what that weakness is. You know, whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. But whatever it is, God's going to be there to help us in our weakness, to pray for us. Right. And I see your prayer life, you know, increasing and learning how to connect with God, and just in a simple, compassionate, pure way of like, God, you know, I really messed that up last night. You know, how do we fix that? He goes, I'll show you. God loves it, man, when we come and say, I messed that up. How can we fix it? How can we fix it? You know, not how can I fix it? How can we fix it? And God loves to get, he loves to fix things. Jesus was he built furniture. You know, he liked to put things together. He enjoyed it. He was good at it. You know, he got to use his hands and use his brain to, you know, fix things. And I thank you, Lord, for that with Daryl, God, that you, the anointing in his life, God, to, you know, to understand and have wisdom, God, on how to, and also see, you know, God showing you how to, things that have fallen apart, how to put them back together again, if indeed God wants to. Sometimes God doesn't want to put things back together again. Sometimes they just don't fit, they don't work. And he's going like, you know, that's not going to work. That puzzle, piece of puzzle doesn't fit with that. That can't cram it together. So we find how to be flexible and let the things that don't seem to be working kind of like slide off, you know, whatever, and let the real piece of puzzle that fits together, that fits perfectly in there. And God's showing you how to match up things, how to let things that match together, that fall together, that come together, let them happen. God will do it. He'll bring the pieces to you. He'll bring the things to you, the answers to you. And that will cause things to work together. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for that. For Daryl, Father, and bless his money. Bless his pocketbook, God. Increase and multiply him, God, as he learns how to obey you with his money. Whatever you tell him to do, God, whether give a dollar to a poor person or give, you know, whatever the thing is, whatever he's doing, God, that you will bless his obedience, God, in Jesus' name. Increase and multiply him, God. 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Cheryl, $100. Thank you, Cheryl. I saw that you were traveling, you know, running late or something in a flight or whatever. Hopefully you made it. Hopefully you made it on time. This song may not rhyme. It'll mess everything up. So we got to keep it together. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for Cheryl, and thank you, Jesus, for God, for you know, like tonight I kept singing that silly song about, it's not a silly song, but it's about drinking his DNA. I don't know how I sang it now, but anyway, about drinking his DNA. Yeah, because that's what really changed us, is drinking his DNA, and in particular his DNA. And God just showing Cheryl how to go to the root of issues, the root of things. Instead of wasting all of our time trying to deal with the fruit, because it's embarrassing. You know, my kids embarrass their fruit, my friends are embarrassing, my fruit, my whatever, embarrassing. So just go right past that and let the fruit be a thing that we see that there's a root. And when you see the fruit, you know, we don't pluck the root to keep, you know, to make ourselves, you know, look better temporarily, whatever, you know, either with our friends or our children. Sometimes we want our children to, we pluck the fruit off our children. Okay, now be on your best behavior. So, nothing wrong with that. It's just the point is that you know, we learned how to focus on the things that change, that really change a person, that really change things, and start finding things in the Word of God and the Gospel of that things that really change people, that go to the root of the problem, and that way all their issues just start growing up, and we don't have to like always pull the fruit off, but if we deal with it properly, that all the fruit would just start drying up. The disciples told Jesus, man, all of a sudden the whole tree just kind of dried up. How'd you do that? It happened fast because Jesus knew right where to deal with it. Amen. And there's different kinds of ways to go to the root of things in Jesus' name and deal with them and deal a blow with them, whether it be healings and miracles, mental things, you know, that people have that we're trying to help people. We're trying to find out how to get to the root. I just keep asking God, show me the root. Show me the root. When I'm counseling people, talking to people, my whole heart is go to the root. Show me the root. What's the root? What's the root? And if you're talking about the fruit, and that's not bad, because the fruit will reveal there's a root right there, especially when you see a lot of different fruit being the same kind of fruit, basically, overall. A lot of rotten apples, you know, there's a rotten apple tree, you know. So there's something going on there with that. So Jesus knew that, and that's when he prayed a root prayer. You know, like sometimes he would just say, get up off your bed and walk, you know, like, you know. So, and he was saying those words, but he was really going to the root of the issue. Hallelujah. All right. Endrika, $120. Thank you, Endrika. 15 for you. Endrika, thank you, Jesus, for Endrika. Lord, just teach her how to drink of your spirit. Teach her how to drink of, like David knew how to build himself up in the Lord and keep himself encouraged so that he could refresh his love on a regular basis. You know, he would cry out to God with cries, like he felt like he looked like he was feeling sorry for himself, like he was like falling apart, but he really wasn't. He was just getting it out. A lot of people, as you know, Endrika, keep things in. And that's what one thing good women are good about, for the most part, is getting things out. Well, who are you whining so much about? They're not really whining. It's about they're getting that stuff out. They get it out of there. And I can turn into that, but, you know, it's like our kids. Some of our kids, they're not really whining. They're getting it out. And if we help them, teach them, show them, you know, and go to the root of the problem and help them with what's really bothering them, then they can find an answer, and pretty soon they'll find themselves healing themselves, if you will. David healed himself by pouring it out. And then God started showing him how much he loved him, how much he wasn't going to forsake him and all that. And then he got this new revelation on it all. right? Because you poured it out. Sometimes we have to pour out things to get something new in, get all that built-up stuff in there. We need to get it poured out somehow or another so that God can replace that, what we pour out, with something new. Amen. And that process goes on and on and on. And Chris, $15, thank you for that. Chris, we thank you, Jesus, for making Chris the head, God, and not the tail, letting him know that he's the head. The head is usually the one who serves and who lays his life down. And thank you, Lord, for showing Chris how that works and the beauty of that and the glory of that and how to keep his heart clear and clean. You know, when people attack us and say good things about us, we get, you know, it kind of dirties up our heart a little bit. We're kind of like, oh, man, that was sorry, that was bad. If we're not careful, we'll carry that around. So we get to learn how to get our heart cleansed on a regular basis so that we can, you know, start our each day with a fresh newness. You know, because I know if I don't work things out and process things through, I end up being angry for days about something, right? It's kind of down there. I bury it, but it's like, and then it starts showing up here and there. So God's showing you how to, you know, deal with things as they come, so they don't have to build up and get really big and deal with them while they're little. You know, easy to wash off. Easy to like, you know, we have to face the truth. Did I say something wrong? Did I do something wrong to create that? Chef might have. You know, be honest with ourselves and say, you know, find out if we're looking for the cause of everything that goes wrong. Is that cause, you know, that I'm saying the wrong things, am I doing the wrong things, or am I believing the wrong things, or am I letting somebody else, you know, put the wrong input in? Is that what's doing it? What's going on? Find the real cause of the problem, and it will stop. We'll stop everything wrong going on. Everything. Amen. Tyreek, Lord, thank you. Tyreek, $10. Thank you, Jesus, for Tyreek. Thank you, God, that you open Tyreek up to, you know, that you can make things new, you know, every day. Your mercies are new every morning, and learning how to be merciful every day, learning how to receive mercy every day. Thank God for his mercies every day. Thank God that he's merciful and kind and generous. And so we never underestimate, you know, the gratitude that we have toward God, what it means to God when we come to him and thank him. Like when Jesus healed the 10 lepers and only one came back, he said, "Where are the rest of them? They all got healed, right?" He said, "Yeah, they did. I don't know." He came back and he fell down on his feet and worshiped him and thanked him. And that person went away blessed, man. Went away blessed. Yeah. In Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, for the keepsakes that you have him. You think that he his memories and the keepsakes, the things that that connect him to memories, that, you know, he's able to, you know, understand what take a bad memory, turn it into a good memory. You know, like when we learn from something, we go, man, that was a bad thing, but I learned a lot from it. You know, and being able to turn everything that was bad into something good. Right. Yeah, that way nothing can build up and beat you up and take you down and catch you off guard and, you know, start taking the light away from you, you know, by not handling those things, you know, correctly and loving and forgiving and blessing. All right, Torrey, $10. Thank you, Lord, for Torrey. Thank you for that creative streak in him, guys. Showing him how to work out things, how to deal with things, like Solomon dealt with the two babies, the two women with the baby, and the wisdom of God. God, even wisdom, God, and that spirit of wisdom and revelation, how to the creative streak, how to work things out. How to not get in the box that everybody should do it like this. Well, you know, if that's the only way that'll work, then it's different. But there's sometimes other ways to skin a cat, as people say. There's more than one way to skin a cat. And so God's showing you different ways to handle things, take care of situations, and deal with them where you deal with them properly, where they don't come back on you. Right? Deal with them properly, get them out, you know, take care of them, and where they don't come back on you, where you don't have to keep. Things don't start building up and piling up that we didn't deal with properly. I've had that happen a lot in my life where I just kind of like, who cares? And it comes back on you, you know, yeah, all kinds of things. And then Victor, $10. Thank you, Lord, for Victor. Thank you, Jesus, for Victor. God, the friendship of Victor, God, show him, Victor, that the friendship of the being friends, that being a friend is everything. You know, just like being a friend, just friends are people who tell each other the truth. Who, you know, just that whole friendship thing, that Victor be a good friend, the kind of friend that is the close to my brother, the kind of friend that wins battles every time because he learns how to humble himself. And when he's wrong or messes something up, he admits it, right? And admits it and fixes it. Yeah, like, you know, okay, I did do that. I messed it up. And being honest and sober-minded about things. And so people are going to love that about you, God's going to really work that in you in a beautiful way, where when you do something, you say, hey, I did that. I start hiding. That's what happened with Adam and Eve. They sin, and then they hid it. They hid it from God. God comes down and says, what are you hiding for? You must have eaten. You must have done something wrong. And they were trying to hide it because they didn't know what to do. So thank you, Lord, that Victor doesn't do that and learns how to, keep things out in the open, keep it clear, and keep his mind clear and his conscience clear. And Owen, the dog, 10 dogs, thank you, Lord, for that. Just had a picture of the dog and drink it. Showed it. I said, Owen, and reminded me, this is the dog, Randy. Thank you, Hendrick, for that. I might have forgotten. And prayed for him like he was a human being. Who knows? Maybe he is a human being. You just don't know it. Yeah. Anyway, pray for that baby doll. We just thank you. We just bless him, Jesus, little Owen. And, show him how to keep him as long as they can, healing and blessing and health and love and affection in Jesus' name and the glory of God. Owen can do his job. He got a job to do. He's going to do his job. He's going to do it good. Amen. All right. ESW Auto Sales, LLC, ESW Auto, LLC, $50. Thank you for the car thing, God. Thank you, Jesus, for the whole car thing. The whole system of cars is changing. God, I'm asking you to give them wisdom on how to work within that system and find ways, create ways to use that system, the new car system, as a way to work things and, you know, get blessed and find, make money and, you know, bless people and give people what they need, what they can afford, in Jesus' name, and, make things work. Thank you, Jesus, for making things work. ESW Auto Sales, LLC, making things work. Making things work. What they're going to do, make things work. Amen. God is faithful, and we will work less and earn a whole lot more and more. Amen. Hallelujah. High five. High ten. All right, hang on a second here. Hang on a second here. hang on a second. All right. Okay, y'all give me just a minute here. I got stuff coming in. Give me a moment, please. All right. Okay. I got two phones, you know, because now they takes coffee and spend more time trying to find things. If some things show up on one phone, sometimes they don't. It's really weird. All right. Okay. So, I'm going to... All right. Okay, we got Charles and Nikki, $10. Charles sent in $10. Thank you, Lord. Needing direction. Thank you, Jesus, for direction. God, we thank you, Lord, for opening up, for opening up provision, Father, for them. And in Jesus' name, for Charles, God, that you give him the wage to, you know, to change what he's doing, to make it easier, but and more blessed, where he will bless him and make things easier and better and, like, work less. Like, maybe you start praying to pray like Enrique prays every time. Work less and earn more and start praying that prayer. Start believing God to pray that prayer to work less and make more. And, you know, and strategies on how to do that. And God, open that up. So that's where the real blessing is not sweating and working hard and wearing ourselves out, but actually entering into that place where the blessing of God is, so that we can, you know, because we got to get this, like, what happened with our friends there in Florida, too, hang on a second here. You know, what happened with Donald and Tanya, I don't know if you heard that story about Donald and Tanya, but he, you know, all of a sudden, things started happening for him. He got hurt. He got wounded. He hurt himself. He hurt himself pretty bad. Messed his leg up real bad. And then, you know, so anyway, a long story short is that through all that stuff he went through, I gave him a word. I said, you're going to start working less and making more. And so, believe it or not, that started happening. He started working a few hours and making a lot more than he's working 8 hours. It was amazing. And his wife, Tanya, said, you remember that word Randy gave you about working less and making more? He said, yeah. She said, that's happening to you. He went, oh, my God. You know, and it literally started happening. It's still happening, far enough. And so I thank you, Lord, for that, for blessing and opening up doors. God, in Jesus' name, that Charles works less as far as less time and gets more done, like he worked 2 hours and get what you get done in 8 hours, in 2 hours. So bless him with that, Jesus. Open that up for him in Jesus' name. Amen. Open up those doors. Hallelujah. And that bring provision in Jesus' name. All right. Terrence and Tanisha, $126. Thank you, Terrence and Tanisha, for that. Bless them, God, in Jesus' name, and cause them to see the freedom. The freedom and liberty, God, that you've chosen them for freedom and liberty, not for a yoke of bondage, but for freedom and liberty. And open them up for that whole spirit of, you know, the spirit of liberty, like the Liberty Bell ringing, like the year of Jubilee, you know, like Jubilee. Thank you, Lord, for Jubilee with them in Jesus' name, and opening up the year of Jubilee for them, God, that all things be, all, you know, the debts be wiped away and forgiven or whatever they are. And we get a new Jubilee, God, that you open up the Jubilee system for them and show them how that works, connect them with that, Father, and that bring that blessing to them, Father God, and see that, you know, that all things work together for good, truly. And I know Tanisha has been teaching about that. I've been talking about that a lot, too. All things working together for good. We thank you, Lord, that that suddenly, God, move into that suddenly realm and open up the heart, God, the faith. Sometimes we have to know what to believe God for. Faith is not just coming up with something out of the Bible. Faith is getting something that it's in the Bible, but it's specifically to our thing. And I think that prayer God's telling me that you guys need to start really praying, maybe you already are, is the year of Jubilee, the year of Jubilee. Sins and debts are forgiven. You know, things that have been, you know, just mainly debts, you know, financial debts forgiven. Amen, in Jesus' name. And the mistakes and failures of financial things are fixed and made new. So I thank you, Lord, for that, that they will begin to pray that, begin to believe for that in Jesus' name, and watch that literally happen to them. They will hear the Liberty Bell ring in their spirit. Ding, ding, ding. You know, freedom. Man, you're not made for shackles. You're made for freedom. You're made to fly. You're made to fly in Jesus' name. You're made to fly in Jesus' name. Open it up, God. Let their wings catch the wind of the Spirit. Let the wind, let their wings catch the wind of the storm and go up above the storm, God, and watch it from a peaceful place. Something going on. All right. Jeff and Uke said they got knocked out, so I'm going to call them and do that here in a second. Okay. Okay. All right. You're all having all kinds of things going. I'm having stuff happen here. Jeff and Uke gave, and then they got kicked out of the queue, so they can't hear the word, so I'm going to have to wait and pray for them here in a little bit. All right, so Jeff and Uke gave $144 before the Carmen is next, and then Nicole, but I'm going to pray with Jeff and Uke here in a little bit. All right, so just letting you know about that. They just texted me and told me they got kicked out of the show for some reason. All right, so we're going to get them here in a little bit. All right, Carmen, $157. Thank you, Carmen, for that. You gave $25. I got $25 in the mail today. And then $132, whatever it was, $132, I think. Thank you for that, Carmen. And thank you, Jesus, for Carmen, God. I thank you, Lord, for replacing the load that you've been carrying, God, with a load of glory, with a load of blessing, with a load of, you know, the burden of the word of the Lord. God, that you bless her with the burden of the Lord, that you she learned how to cast her cares upon you, Jesus. And what happens when we cast our care upon the Lord, Carmen, is that God gives us his cares. In other words, okay, you cast your care upon me, and I'm answering that. Now I'm going to cast my care upon you, and I'm going to show you what I care about. I'm going to show you what needs to be prayed about. I'm going to show you like a new level of God showing you what he cares about. Like you cast your cares upon him, upon the Lord, and he hears you and blesses you. And then he says, because you cast your care upon me, I'm going to cast my care upon you, the things I care about, the things that I desire, the things that I like, the things that I love. In other words, the desires of his heart. So I thank you, Jesus, for Carmen, God, that you, as she cast her cares upon you, that load, God, of whatever's going on, and I thank you, Jesus, all the different things that go on, that we go through, that she's casting, she's learning more and more how to cast her cares upon you in a new level, in a new way. And when we do that, what happens is, like with me, then God starts showing me what he cares about. It's okay, I'm answering your cares, now you answer mine. And he starts showing us revelation, giving us things, showing us, you know, showing me things prophetically, showing me, you know, what's going on with people and how to help people. And he shows me how he cares for people. You know, we think he cares about this particular thing of the person. He says, no, I don't really care about that. I really care about that. He's just showing us what he cares about with the person. In other words, giving us the root value of what's going on with them, the root answer, where the root answer comes instead of just all the other stuff. So he says, no, I'm not really cared about that. I care about this. And he says, I know you think I care about that particular thing. I don't. That didn't bother me at all. This is what's really bothering me. And he says, this is what's bothering me. This is what I care about. I'm going to give you the desires of my heart. Amen. Because there's something about learning how to cast our cares upon the Lord. The Bible says, for he careth for us. And then, you know, when you give your cares, when you cast your care upon him, it's kind of like a covenant thing. You cast your cares upon him, and he can to fix your stuff, and he casts his cares upon you to show you things that you can do to fix his stuff in obedience to him. Amen. And taking that whole thing, like given it shall be given, cast and it shall be cast upon you. You know, so thank you, Lord, for doing that in her heart, God, and showing her that, opening her up, God, to receive the things that Jesus cares about at a whole other level, at a whole other place, at a whole other time, a whole other season, like never before, God. So as we enter into this next realm of what's going on in the earth, God, that she will know what you really care about, that you want her to care about. I mean, you care about a lot of things, but you give certain people certain things to have them care about those things so they can pray and intercede and believe God. Because when we care about what he cares about, it's because we love what he loves. God, show me this. The reason the enemy tries to rob us of his love, Carmen, is because love gets you and I to love what he loves. And if we love what he loves, we care about what he cares about. So the enemy's trying to, you know, get that love thing, get us in all kinds of other things, and not realize that the love, when we love him with all of our heart, what happens is we start loving what he loves or caring about what he cares about. So I thank you, Jesus, for that anointing, that the spirit of that, Father. Have an unction from the Holy One and know all things. What do you know? You know what he cares about. You know what God cares about. You pray about that. He gets happy with us. Yeah, and he starts blessing us. Amen? Because things are getting done. He needs someone to agree with to get things done. He uses me to get certain things over here. He uses you to get certain things done over there. He uses everybody to get certain things done. If we can find somebody who will just do what he says. All right? But sometimes we don't cast our care upon the Lord. Guess what happens? We get bogged down. We can't see what God cares about because all we can do is care about what we care about. All right? We cast it upon him, and then he starts casting his cares upon us. It's a great trade. That's an amazing thing. All right. So, Nicole, $428.73 for that. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for Nicole. We thank you, Lord, for blessing her father in that her heart begins to, ascend above the things of men, of what men think, what men do, what men care about, and what the things that people are concerned about, the worries of this world, that, you know, the cares of this life. The Bible says when he planted the seed in the sower, Matthew 13, that he said the cares of this world, choke off the word, choke off the information, choke off the real thing that we need from God. That's what it does. It chokes it off. So I thank you, Lord, for that, we bring her to a place, God, about not fearing man, not fearing what people say, not fearing what people do, but can do what they think they can do. But Jesus said, to Pilate, he said, you can't, he said, I could kill you. Don't you know that I could, let you go or crucify you, whatever I want to do? He said, no, you can't do what you want to do. You can only do what my Father allows you to do. So when you start moving into that place, Nicole, as we do that, of being more aware of that nothing can happen to anybody, to anybody who's obeying the Lord, who loves the Lord, without God being, giving them approval. In other words, somebody's put it in, I can do this. You're going like, I don't know. I don't think God will give you approval to do that. I don't think it's going to happen. But if he gives you approval, hallelujah, that's my God, whatever he wants to do. So it's about what God approves of. And what God says is right, what God says is going on. And, so when we get caught up in the spirit, we, whatever way that is, we start seeing, that God ascends over everything. If the big thing I think I did a teaching on this a couple of weeks ago about Paul the Apostle says, if God be for us. That's what it says. Even if God is for us. In other words, is he for what we're doing? Are we in his will? If we're in his will, he's for us. So when we understand, Nicole, as we understand that he's for us, then who could be against us? Jesus told Pilate, he said, hey, I know you think you're a pretty tough dude and you got all this power and everything, but really? And if my Father doesn't give you permission to do it, you're not going to be doing nothing. I got angels. There's all kind of things. All kind of things can happen. You could die right now. You never know. Yeah. So not fearing man, only fearing God, reverencing God, respecting people, but not fearing them and their threats, because knowing that unless God gives permission, you can't touch me. It's something God's really been doing to me in the last 5 years or so, little by little. He's been creating circumstances and using, family things and some quote powerful people in the family that, really I found it they were pretty powerful, more powerful than I ever thought they'd be. My God, it's amazing. But the way they did it was not right at all. But still, it was for my benefit, and it taught me, they can't touch me, man. Nobody can touch me, unless I just have a curse coming. Like I'm disobedient, curses come because of disobedience, right? If you argue with the voice of the Lord, all these blessings. If you don't, all these curses, God curses. What is that? It's just the opposite of protection and provision. So if that curse comes, there's a reason for it. I got to find out what the reason is, And then if I'm innocent, it's not going to stick. It may hit me for a while, but it's not going to stick. In other words, it's going to turn back on them if they don't let go of it. So literally, that's a thing that we're going to learn in the end time. It's going to be big time. It's going to be our fear gauge. It's going to be like we're going to be the most ferocious, fearless men and women of God that the earth has ever seen. I'm telling you, this is where all this stuff's going. Yeah. We're going to deal with things that the earth has never dealt with before. Who can he use to do that? Just anybody? No. Only those that love God. They're called according to his purposes. Yeah. Period. End of story. I love it. All right, Shannon, $25. Thank you, Lord, for Shannon. Thank you, Lord, for you said you sent me a text with the prayer request on it. Okay. All right, Shannon. All right, Shannon, prayer request. You pray God removes fear of man. Wow, that's amazing. I hadn't read your prayer request yet, and I was just talking to Nicole about that, and how God's doing that with all of us. Will you pray that God removes the fear of man, any social anxiety, gives me confidence, and leads my wife to me and me to her? Yes. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, that's what fear does. Fear pushes things away. and draws the wrong things. And when fear draws the wrong things, then it, instead of the thing God wants, the fear takes its place, you know, or interferes with it. So I thank you, Jesus, for that whole thing with Shannon, God, that when a dog sniffs fear, what does he do? He attacks. So we're dealing with all the attacks because we've got fear going on, right? I mean, me, you, all of us. And so we thank you, Jesus, for that and for opening up, you know, his heart and his mind to that whole situation of, you know, fear. Fear is always getting us under attack. We're always under attack because of the fear. So that's the cause. So we have a curse coming or some kind of thing coming against it. The cause, you know, many times with all of us at times is fear. So good job on that. Yeah, I think you're catching something there. Or you caught something, or you're understanding something. Yeah, so really, really cool. So thank you, Jesus, for exposing all the fears. I'll take that myself. Expose all my fears, God. I got a fear of man, fear of people, fear of that. In Jesus' name, take away the cause. Let me see the cause that's allowing that thing to happen. Because it doesn't come without a cause. The Bible said it doesn't come without a cause, and I believe the Bible. Right? So when I got something going on, and it's opened up a door somehow or another, I go to God and say, you know, deliver me from the thing that I'm allowing this to happen. But we're so afraid because if we think we got something wrong, like we're carnal or bad people. No, we're human beings, and God is trying to show us that. So as you deal with this thing, the fear of man, remove it, like keep removing it from me. I think it's something he does in our life on a regular basis, and that will and bring him confidence is fake. Faith and fear are just the opposite. God, when we got faith, what is faith? God, faith is saying, hey, I'm going to curse those who curse you and bless those who bless you. What do you got to be afraid of? That's what faith does. Faith is speaking, saying, you know, you don't have to be afraid of anything. You know, be fearless because I'm with you. And so it takes time for us to grasp that God is really with us, with Abraham and all of God. I mean, Moses. I mean, when we start seeing this thing, we think we're instantly fearless. No. Joshua was full of fear, man, as far as, you know, this new thing. He had a new thing put on him. He's going like, oh, my God, he's freaking out. You know, what? You know, I saw God deliver Moses, but, oh, my God, me? So he had to learn it for himself. And so it's something we all learn. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for opening him up to that and delivering him, God, and showing him those things that the cause of those, you know, the curses are just things that attack us and we have no protection and things like. You know, we have to find the cause of it. So thank you, Lord, for that cause, of blessing him and opening him up to that, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. And that you lead his wife to him, God, and him to her, God. And that way, when the fear is dealt with, all that's leading can happen. It's hard for things to be led and come to us when we're fighting the fear wolves all the time. Oh, my God, fighting. Like, how can God bring us something when we're fighting? So thank you, Jesus, for that answer and for everybody listening to this prayer for them, God. In Jesus' name, that's the fear thing. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, hang on. I think it's about it. All right. So I'm trying to make sure we get everything taken care of tonight. All right, let's check and double check everything. All right, y'all. I am. I got one more prayer. I'm gonna pray over Jeff. I'm gonna have to do this. So give me a second here. All right. Okay, I'm going to say that again because I had myself muted on the show so I can record this. There we go. Now I got it. Okay, so thank you, Jeff, and you for that. And, the God's showing you favor with God's people, like all the chosen people that are supposed to be chosen for your life. You know, you're going to find God's to start bringing those people out of the woodworks, so to speak, in a way that he's going to, like, you know, you're going to see that those people are solid people, they're protected people, they're kept people, they're God's people, they're people called for a certain purpose. They're not just out there flopping around trying to make money or do something good. They want to do something really good. They want to do God's will. And so I thank you, Jesus, for Jeff and you, God, that as they begin to find that favor, that they've been going through many tests and many trials, God, and I thank you in Jesus' name that as they see this thing happening to them, they're going to understand that God is putting, like God told me one time many years ago, I sold my car. I mean, you know, I'm a grown man working a good job, and I sold my car. Because God told me to. He said, I want you to give more to the kingdom. I said, oh, wow. So I sold my car, walked to work, walked down to the fire department, about 10 blocks away, and went to work every day. And, you know, so I'm walking across this field, going to a meeting and getting my shoes dirty because I'm walking and, you know, I'm a grown man. What am I doing? I said, God, you know, I don't have a car. What's going on? He said, I'm going to bring you friends, Randy, that are my friends. And when I bring you friends that are my friends, it's going to change everything. And so that's what I'm saying to you. It's like God's showing me that he's going to show you that you know, he's been testing you, trying you, you know, what are you going to hang with? What are you going to do? What are you going to look for? You know, and are you going to look for my friends? Are you going to look for my will? Are you going to look for anything? Are you going to look for people, any kind of body that comes along? Or are you going to look for God's people to come along that are for you, that are on your side, that are on God's side? Not just on your side. It's better to be on God's side and have a friend who's on God's side and is on your side at the same time. Because they'll tell you the truth when, you know, everything else fails. They're gonna be honest with you. They're going to tell you the truth. They're going to be your friend. And then when they tell you the truth, when they rebuke you, they're going to take you out to dinner and love you and spend time with you and let you know how much they appreciate you being their friend. So it's like the true friends. God, I thank you for bringing those people together, God, for sealing this in their life, God. in Jesus' name and open them up to that place of you're going to bring them your friends that are sealed by you, that are sealed by God, and because the purposes that you have for them in the earth are to nurture and take care of and bless people and be a servant to God's people, kind of like Jeff Bezos. It's a servant, to be a servant. Oh, I keep talking about Jeff Bezos. His name is Jeff. I keep forgetting. Honestly, God, I'm not putting that together. I don't know. And that's amazing. So thank you, Jesus, for the Jeff, not the Jeff Bezos. We love Jeff Bezos, but we thank you, Lord, for Jeff and Uke in Jesus' name. Wow, hello, that's pretty cool. I think I've said that before, but I never. Anyway, there you go. In Jesus' name, so Lord, open that up and bless them, God, that they're choosing to do things your way and not their own way. They're choosing to run your direction, do things according to what you say is right instead of what makes sense. Where they're doing your thoughts are higher than theirs. And so when we choose to do your higher thoughts, then those higher thoughts become our thoughts. When we choose to obey those higher level thoughts, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, and bless you, God. Let her have understanding, God, in Jesus' name, that when God sanctifies you and sets you apart for something, that we can't be in league with anything else or anybody else, only God. And that's why God brings us his friends. When we finally decide, I'm going to be in league with God and nobody else, then that's when God starts bringing us his friends. So, okay, well, they're coming now. Look up. Here they come. In Jesus' name, open that up, Father, and bless in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Thank you, Jeff and Uke, for that. We bless you. Thank you very much. All right. It's all on the show. So thank you, Lord, for PGN tonight, God. Thank you for everything you're doing for all your people. And you're raising them up, calling them, choosing them, and you choose them to obey you. You just don't choose us to look cute and look pretty and go around looking cool, but you choose us to because we're going to do what you say and say what you do. Amen? Yeah, in Jesus' name. That's the difference between the chosen, because they choose him. They've chosen him already, and they keep choosing him. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everybody, going to call it a night tonight. It's been awesome. Thank you for being with us, and we will talk to you guys Monday. All right, bye-bye.